theirs beats Battlestar Galactica.
Nerd! You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Bazinga.
Two in the box.
Ready to go.
We be fast.
They be slow.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool.
And you added it up.
Boom, boom, boom. Dum, dum, dum. We're recording.
Oh!
And we're recording. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the Mount Geekmore podcast. We've been off for a couple of weeks. Or were we? Last week.
Oh, we recorded the rest
of
the
week. Yeah,
we did. I wasn't here. All right, so welcome back to the
Science episode.
Welcome back to the Mount Geekmore podcast. Your favorite podcast where we select the top four, the Mount Rushmore, if you will, of your favorite pop culture subjects. Today's pop culture subject is the first time we're doing this is a director's mountain, which is a Steven Spielberg, the Mount Rushmore of Steven Spielberg films.
So excited for this.
This is
yeah. I gotta be honest with you, I thought he would have more to pick from.
Really?
Yeah, like when we thought of the subject, we were like, oh, it's got to be a director that has a long filmography, and not saying that Spielberg doesn't have a lot to choose from. But
I mean, Hitchcock probably has the biggest filmography.
I would say Ridley Scott, or like
I'm fairly certain that Hitchcock directed like 150 films. Well, I think I remember reading.
Well, because Steven Spielberg has 56.
He worked for like 70 years.
Steven Spielberg has 56 on his credit, but a lot of those are TV,
and he has a lot of producer roles.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about 56 directed, but a lot of TV.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, anyways, let's get into a bit of geek news. We're just going to do a little
geek news, geek news, geek news,
noticias de lo geek.
Yeah.
All right.
Do the sound of a dying giraffe.
Oh, you didn't introduce
us. Hi, Jeff.
Wow.
You didn't introduce us.
Wow.
If I die, the resistance lives. Oh,
did you hear that, guys? The sound of a dying giraffe. By the way, the
I am Nery Science. I am Nery Science. With me are the dying giraffes that are Jeff.
Oh.
I am sorry. I just fact checked myself, and 150 is ridiculously wrong. It was 50 films.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
50 films.
So close.
Yeah, only off by a couple of dozen.
He missed it by that much. Yeah, the one who's completely wrong right now is David.
Howdy.
And you forget his name?
Well, because I was, you know what? I just got so used to saying the one who's usually wrong, and I go the one who's wrong as always, and I was like, wait, it's not David. And then we have Raul.
Allo. Oh, wait. Mwah. Mwah.
Right. So you want to do a condensed one?
Yeah, just a condensed.
All right.
We don't need to talk about trailers. We got the trailers.
Oh, okay, yeah. There was a bunch of trailers that came out.
Yeah.
They were great.
It's trailer weather.
Yeah.
It's gonna trail.
Pirates, you don't need to use Johnny Cash because of Logan's, but let's move on from that.
I like
the most important news that just came out that matters for all of 2017.
Yes.
Sharknado 5 got announced. I'm
Woo!
So excited.
Woo-hoo!
Is Terry still employed?
Yes.
Yay!
And Ian Ziering, they're both gonna be back. I am so excited.
I like Ian Ziering.
I
guess I like
Mark
the
Cuban gonna be in this one.
Yeah.
As well?
Huh?
Is Mark Cuban going to be in this one?
They've
as well?
Only said no. I think he got killed in the last one.
Bro, I don't know.
But no, I've seen all of them. I love every single one of them. But
why
Ian Ziering
do these sharks tornadoes keep following Ian Ziering?
That was a running joke in the thing. They're like, not another one. Jesus, like they were in Vegas and it popped up in the middle of Vegas.
Yeah.
Well, that would make sense as far as tornadoes,
but with sharks in them. Well, because there was a hotel that was being opened.
But
that
Jeff,
was the premise of the last one.
But Jeff, there's sand sharks.
Well, no, this was actually a hotel that was revolving around sharks that had a giant tank, and then the tornado came in and sucked those sharks up. Okay. That's how that was. But yeah, Sharknado 5, it's supposed to go worldwide this time.
Is one of those sharks named Martha?
No!
Martha. And the shark goes, why did you say that
why
name?
Why you say that name? Why are you doing this?
It would be great if one of those sharks was called Bruce. And then the other one goes, why did you say that name? Why did you say that name? That's my grandfather.
Oh, no. That would have been amazing.
That was good.
Every once in a while, I'm good for one.
My wife tells me that all the time.
Oh, Jesus. I know.
Tonight, we're not, Shark Mom doesn't die.
We're not going to talk about trailers. Oh, Jesus.
I'm your son's friend.
Really? We're going to start using that word now, friend? We're just going to start throwing that shit around?
Ow.
You just whooped my ass right now. You're going to start throwing that fucking phrase around?
I'm pro. When he said that, I was like, oh, shit. Things are about to get serious.
I figured when I saw another shark wearing a cape that you had to be Clark's friend.
So in the Super Bowl, we were talking about this a little bit off air, but Stranger Things Season 2.
Very, promo. Very yeah. mucho excited.
I didn't see the promo. I was watching
Ghostbusters
offense. I saw the pictures. I was watching the Super Bowl on an app on my Apple TV.
Ugh.
And it was the official Fox app.
Yeah.
So I don't know if all the commercials synced up. But then again, I was taking care of a couple kids. So I did walk away a couple times. So maybe it just happened.
But
I didn't see it.
It's going to come out on Halloween. And
it's a lot. This is very early for them to announce.
I'm sure they just wanted to reach a large audience and just pop in.
Oh, really? Season. As a larger audience than Netflix has already gotten for that show? It's not a random show. It's a pretty.
I know that, but you're gonna have all those people.
This is prime time to remind people that hey, the show's coming back. It's not coming back as soon as you want it to, but it is. It's there, and we're working on
it's
it.
It's literally the largest television event of the year, so they might as well. Post.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
Yeah. So.
I would say the Defenders or Daredevil, or Iron Fist.
I don't think that either of those shows were the phenomenon that Stranger Things was.
Yeah, I agree with you, dude.
I love them.
Game of Thrones, pretty big fucking TV.
But that's not a Netflix.
We're not talking about Netflix. He said TV event. He didn't say Netflix.
Yeah,
I was talking
TV.
About the Super Bowl.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Stranger Things.
Yeah, that's obvious. Yeah, of course. I thought you were talking about Stranger Things.
No,
being
I was saying that if you wanted to
this,
market something like
this
that,
last summer, the biggest thing was Stranger Things.
Yeah.
On TV, Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Nothing beat it.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as hype, as far as hysteria, everyone's like, oh, you got to watch this show, Stranger Things.
Bro, did you see the season of The Bachelor?
The very specific part that you said was the summer, because the summer is downtime. So, yeah, you're right. That there's but regular primetime TV.
Then I would even say of all 2016.
No, you said the summer.
Yeah,
and
I'm going to expand what I said. I'm not backpedaling. I am even building upon that and saying all of 2016, the biggest TV event was Stranger Things.
Someone here doesn't watch Scandal.
Scandalous.
You're right. I don't.
That show is
amazing. I would
agree
with you, David.
You called me out.
I would agree with you on that. I think Stranger Things was a big phenomenon.
Yeah. I haven't seen anything like this since probably Game of Thrones first started.
Yeah.
Or Lost. Walking Dead when some Asian kid got killed.
You know, I'm going to come out and say it. Raul, you were right. I saw maybe two or three episodes after Steve Young's death, after Glenn's...
Steve Young? Steve Young died?
The quarterback of the 49ers? The former quarterback? Hall of Fame quarterback?
Steven Yeun.
Steven Yeun.
Yeun
or Yeun.
Doesn't he pronounce it Young?
There's no G in it, but I guess.
I've always heard Steven.
It's Y-U-E-N.
Look, okay.
Steven Yeun, if you ever want... Or
he
Young.
Had, he had a... In his name, doesn't he have a coffee table upside down? or was it the house... On a tippy, I don't remember which one.
Jesus Christ!
Either way, I saw like two or three episodes after Glenn died, and life got in the way. Couldn't keep up with
it. You don't want to keep up with it.
I have not felt the desire to go back and watch the show. So, Raul, you were right.
I'm not right. It's just
no. You were right. You did call it. You said you called it. You said you're done. You're done after this. And I said no. I'm going to keep watching. And I kept watching. And
actually,
then
your words were out of spite. I'm going to keep watching just to prove you wrong.
But I got back into it in those two or three episodes. I was like, all right, I'm into this. And then the moment I stopped watching, I haven't looked back.
That's how I felt about Sons of Anarchy. I watched feverishly for 5 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I binge watched 5 seasons. And I was like, good, I'm all going home. And then something happened that I couldn't watch for 1 week. And then I was like, you know, I don't really care about those people anymore. I'm done. I stopped caring.
I fucking love that show.
The first 3 seasons were
certain things make people fall asleep.
Oh yeah, but I watched it all the way to the end.
But it's not just you. I mean, Walking Dead has suffered drastic ratings losses in the past few episodes. So,
but the death of Glenn was the end.
Yeah.
But the beginning of the end for me was the death of Beth.
Yeah.
I thought I was done at that point.
As much as I have a lot of animosities towards that show, I still think it's one of the better shows that's ever been produced.
Why are you zombieist?
Oh, you know, there's that new Drew Barrymore movie. That came out.
I binge watched it already. I already
really?
Finished the
Good?
Whole series.
Bad, man?
Saint Clarita Diet.
That's Drew Barrymore?
It's Drew Barrymore and Timothy Oliphant.
Well, I know Timothy Oliphant.
Best part of that show. He was the best part of that show.
He's the best part of
Never, never had Dad Wood.
He's the best part of everything he's in.
It's 10 episodes, 30 minutes each.
Have you seen Justified?
I saw the first episode.
Bro.
Chrissy loved that show, I want to watch it.
Wow. Wow.
Now that I binge watched that.
There's not a dying giraffe either.
Wow. Now that I binge watched that and I binge watched Schitt's Creek, I need to find something. And Frasier. I went through 11 seasons of Frasier in a month and a half.
I went through Jesus. I applaud you, sir.
Literally went through 5 seasons in a week. In 8 days, I went through 5 seasons.
And then Neri would just message me, hey, bro, this episode.
And Sunday would be. Well, I mean, I'm sorry. Friday this week would be 2 weeks that I started as far as that 5 week run, and I'm already five episodes before the series finale.
Yeah,
so I will watch 6 seasons in a week and a half in 12 days.
It's such a good show.
Yeah, you guys go through Frasier like Donald Trump goes through civil liberties. So,
ooh, scandalous.
So, what else in the news?
Okay, so there's this documentary that's been circling around that I haven't watched. It's a mini documentary. It's like 8 minutes long. It's called Being Batman. And
I've heard of this.
It's about this guy in Ontario, Canada, that built a bat suit.
Batman's not Canadian.
Lives like a life. He's not a multi-billionaire, I don't believe. But he actually fights crime, does all that stuff.
That's a big part.
That's awesome.
He's actually stopped crimes dressed like Batman.
I've heard of this.
Yeah,
I've read about this.
A documentary called Being Batman about it.
That's awesome.
Doesn't have his name. Obviously, to protect his identity.
Right.
I have a feeling this guy.
Well, we all know it's Bruce Wayne.
But he has a bad credit card.
So yeah.
It's obvious that we all know who he is.
Does he stop, like, tax evasion crimes? Is that really what he does?
Yeah,
jaywalking.
It's blue collar crime what he takes care of. He walks into, like, the court, like, Your Honor.
Those are white collar crimes. But,
or white collar, sorry. Thank
but
you.
The,
I should have known that because we were talking about Matt Bomer before. My bad.
But,
Brain
that's a great story until he gets killed.
Yeah.
That's a great story. Batman got killed. That's multiple. That's a sad story on multiple levels. A citizen trying to do the right thing gets killed, and now you killed Batman.
Well, there's an additional.
Do you have an apprentice ready to take the mantle? Because if you don't do it.
If you don't have a boy in red short shorts, nah, get out of here.
Well, they have the thing is that he has this arch nemesis that dresses like a Mountie, and he broke his back. And then, like, so he's recovering now for a little bit.
But you know what's the problem? No one understands a word he says.
It's like, I'm trying to do, I can't do a Canadian accent, but I just wanted to do, never mind.
Wanted to do a Canadian Bane?
A Canadian Bane, but I couldn't get that to come out.
Oh, it's a boat.
It's a boot.
It's a boat to hurt.
I sounded Indian there.
I've stolen all of the maple. And now you will pay.
Dudley,
you are in a sticky situation.
Oh, no!
Nice. Nice.
So, and then one last bit. Yes. So, Haley Bennett, she was the girl in Magnificent Seven, the main girl. She was
the girl,
and she's apparently she was in The Equalizer with him too.
Yeah,
I don't remember who she was in The Equalizer.
The girl.
Oh, okay. No, that wasn't her. That was the girl. Was Hit Girl. The little
Chloe
prostitute?
Grace Moretz.
Well, no, not the prostitute. Is the
Now you confuse me, but
yeah,
Chloe was a prostitute. I
think. Yeah,
Chloe
yeah, was a
prostitute.
So she's been dropping heavy hints that she's gonna be. She's the new Catwoman. They haven't specified what.
This is the girl.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with this.
They don't know what it's for though. They don't know if it's for the upcoming Batman film, for the Gotham City Sirens movie, mm-hmm, or something else entirely. But she posted three pictures on Instagram. Instagram. One was Catwoman from animated series. Mm-hmm. Then the second one was her with short hair, and she's like, "Here's my new haircut."
Okay.
And it was short, like the short cut hair. And then the last one was her eating like a piece of sushi, like fish.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. So
out of a bowl.
She was drinking out of a saucer of milk.
That would have been better. She would have been drinking a carton of milk.
That would have been.
I think
sushi, which everybody and their fucking great mother.
Yep.
Or whatever.
So I'm thinking it might be Gotham City Sirens.
Here you go. Got the pictures up there.
That would be very impressive. Again, the best part of Suicide Squad was Margot Robbie, hands down, as Harley Quinn. I think that would be an awesome pairing. I think she was really cute. She was a really, really pretty face, and her character was really good in Magnificent Seven.
I just want to know if the audition process made her make out with
Megan Fox?
No.
And Margot Robbie?
Margot Robbie.
There needs to be chemistry.
Well, wait, but does Catwoman have chemistry with Harley Quinn or Poison Ivy?
Always no, it's Ivy.
Ivy and Harley are really the two, you know, gal pals, so to speak.
Well, they're a couple now.
Are they in the comics?
Yeah.
I haven't kept up in a while.
That's the one thing I know that I read in
the writer for Batman the Animated Series, which is the one that started Harley.
Paul Dini?
He said
artist.
Oh.
Yeah. No, the writer.
No. He said Bruce Timm. Bruce Timm was the artist.
So even the writer said that he goes, "I always envisioned them as a couple."
Yeah, they work very well as a couple.
Yeah.
Yep.
Romantically.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm. They're perfect for each other. I think they are more perfect for each other than she and Joker.
Well
because...
It's a much healthier relationship still based on scum and villainy.
But guys, really, why are we being so serious about this?
She's perfect.
But that's it. That's all I got.
I'm glad you're dead.
Glad you're dead.
No,
she could do any. She couldn't do worse.
That's maybe my favorite Joker scene.
Can I tell you that the first Batman? Listening back to the Christmas episode,
yes,
TV Christmas episode, I hate myself for not including the Batman the Animated Series Christmas episode.
Of
Robin and the train and the whole Joker was at the
you should feel terrible.
That is a good one.
That's a good one.
I'm just kidding.
I do. You're right.
But that's all the news I got.
Alrighty. Mountain.
Boom.
Mountain.
And there's a bunch of trailers.
Montaña. Yodale. Is that you hanging from a tree?
No, that's my son.
Oh, your son. I'm sorry. Your phone.
Yeah, I have a photo of myself hanging from a tree.
I know somebody, and I'll tell you who it is later off the air, but I know somebody whose wallpaper on their phone is their headshot.
Oh.
Well, and I'm like,
can I take a guess?
No.
After the show?
After the show, sure. But I know a couple of people.
And to be honest, Jeff, you're probably the only one of us that can hang from a tree for some time.
Without the branches crackling.
I can hang from a tree if I get up there with a ladder.
Okay.
It's the climbing
part. Okay, yeah.
It's the climbing part that I can't do.
Let's work on the ladder first, Nir.
You think I can't climb a ladder?
I can hang from Jesus. I can hang from the trunk.
How?
A branch is like
savage.
Yeah, how fat do you think I am? I can't climb a ladder. Those are like stairs. I can't climb stairs.
Jesus. Dudley boys climb ladders.
Well, I mean, do you use escalators more than stairs? That's what I picture.
But only because I go to the airport, and why the fuck would I go upstairs?
That's called being smart.
Yeah.
And conserving energy.
Sorry.
God.
Sorry.
Especially God, Mom.
Jeez, Mom.
How did you guys pick your mountain for Steven Spielberg? Is that
Spielberg?
Spiegelberg?
Did you know that Spielberg translates into English as Little Mountain?
Ooh.
Little Mountain or Play Mountain?
Ooh. The more you know.
Yeah. So our mountain.
So we're making a mountain on a mountain.
A mountain of
racks Little Mountain racks.
Movies.
Yeah. Nice.
Thank all you, right. David.
Yeah.
So, who wants how to did start? You guys make your selections?
I went with my favorite movies. Okay. Simple as that. I'm not gonna try to sugarcoat it. I could have probably had one or two for my honorable mentions that could have moved into there, but I'm not gonna adjust. I'm gonna keep it with the movies of his that I loved or that began my love affair with something or established my love affair, because there weren't additional films after that.
Mm.
That's how I did it.
Mm.
Yes, the soundboard's back, ladies
Yay!
And gentlemen.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Christy loved the soundboard.
Steven Spielberg is probably the standard right now of directors, or of, I guess, modern directors. He's just an amazing, amazing talent. One of the things I will say about Steven Spielberg, unlike some other directors, he's probably one of the best collaborative workers in the industry. I mean, when you talk about like John Williams, and we'll bring up more names later, but one of the things that's really interesting about Steven Spielberg is that he's such a great collaborative worker, and he always, at one point, he strived to just test out his barriers as far as he can. And it's something that I appreciate from a true Hollywood talent as he is.
Just like Jeff, I went with my favorite Spielberg movies. Without giving it too much thought, I'd say that Spielberg is probably my favorite film director. So I thought long and hard about how to approach this mountain, whether I wanted to look
approach.
Okay. whether I wanted to look at go ahead, Neri. Whether I wanted this to be my favorite Spielberg movies or the movie that
the soundboard's off control.
What's going on?
I don't know. I pressed it once and it went four times.
Whether I wanted this to be what I thought was the best overall Spielberg movies or what I thought was his best film direction, and each time the list was subtly different. And in talking with Jeff, because I just had no idea how to approach this, I decided to go with just favorites. So, there you go.
Yeah, I went with the movies that I've seen the most. That's how I decided my favorites, because I think he has fantastic movies that were mind-blowing and that were even better than some on my list. But I don't want to sit there and watch it again and again.
I got you.
So I think the movies that I want to watch over and over again are the ones that made my list.
That was a factor for me as well.
Yeah. All right, so number four.
Jeff.
All right, so my number four is going to get tabled. It's Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Tabled.
Nothing to do with Raiders of the Lost Ark. Okay.
Listen, I don't have every song ever fucking imagined to man on my fucking wall.
Well,
when you think of the cantina, what's the first alien thing from the cantina? Is it those aliens or the glowing gold eyes ones?
No, those playing the instruments for me.
I think of the glowing gold eye guy. I don't know why.
Probably those aliens. Yeah, the band.
Nope.
I think of the blue chick.
No, but she wasn't in the blue chick. The Twi'lek was in Jabba's Palace.
Yeah.
It wasn't that song.
No, I'm thinking about Fifth Element.
Okay.
Badass opera.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Badass. Is it badass because of the opera or because of that Millie Joint Visual Action scene that's happening in the middle of it?
No. All of the above.
Yeah.
But am I the only one that can envision her singing the Duel of the Fates song?
But like the punk, the rock version, a rock opera version. So I was Raiders Lost Ark, and David said Ark. Tabled.
Yeah, tabled.
Okay.
Which, by the way, she passed some large stones.
My number four is probably going to get tabled, so I'll say what I have to say about it for later. My number four is Jurassic Park.
Table.
Thank you.
My number four is
Last Ark?
Lost.
Lost.
Perdido.
Technically, it is the last because it's the only one. So it is also the last.
Please save all comments. my number four is very likely not to be tabled, and it is Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Table.
Oh, really?
No.
The light in his eyes. The light.
It's two for two.
I wish I was Facebook live because the moment David's heart sunk back into his body.
When he's like, I choose you.
He's like, Biffle.
I was about to get on my knees and suck your dick.
I know. That's how I felt when I was like,
Ghostbusters.
Me too, and I was like, yeah.
Oh. I'm sorry. Yeah, I deserve that.
Revenge is sweet.
Yeah, I figured that I was going to be the only one with Close Encounters.
That's honorable
on.
Mention for me.
Never seen it.
This, I would say it's a must see.
It has aliens, so I would say not for Neri.
Okay.
It's not scary.
It's not scary at all.
It has aliens in it.
My one of the things
they're
not
that all I xenomorphs. Some are friendly aliens.
One of the things that I love about this movie is that the aliens are peaceful. That the aliens don't contact humanity until we are capable of having a peaceful interaction with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite things about this movie. It's also, in my opinion, the most Spielberg movie out of all of his movies, because this was his baby. From the time that he was a boy, he was working on this movie. He used to watch Falling Stars with meteors and stuff like that with his dad, and that got him thinking about what was out there. And so he
does believe in aliens, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know he does. Yeah. I know he does. And that got him started on researching that and UFOs. And so on and off for the next
refrigerators.
I mean, we're going to be talking about Spielberg all night. So whatever refrigerator jokes you need to get out, you can get out now.
No. I've got to pace myself.
Okay, got you.
So many.
He worked on this on and off for years and years and years. Even while he was doing Jaws, he was developing this. And it was Jaws, the success that was Jaws that allowed... that allowed him to make the movie in the way that he wanted. And so he worked on the script. There were other people that came in and worked on it with him, and it was never what he wanted, and he didn't budge until he finally got what he wanted. And the movie itself is beautiful. The use of music in the film is
the iconic scene.
It's the scene with the mothership and the it's such a beautiful use of music, and the music is so simple, a testament to John Williams and the genius of John Williams. And it's an alien movie that has elements of suspense, and mm-hmm. there's little bits of horror in there every now and then, because and it never has to do with the alien itself, but it's with the feeling of not knowing what's going on.
Definitely,
right?
Like,
and those coincidences that keep happening between Roy and Jillian and throughout the whole movie, and then finally when you realize that these are good guys, right? There are good people out there, and there are good people here, and that's the whole reason why these aliens are here, is because there are good people here.
Yeah.
It gives you renewed hope in humanity. It gives you renewed hope in life. I absolutely love this movie. It's one of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Great message in the movie. Fucking Richard Dreyfuss, man. I love Richard Dreyfuss.
And the kids, the one that ended up being Danny in The Shining.
Oh, yeah.
Because of this movie that Stanley Kubrick saw his performance and said, I want him as Danny for The Shining.
Oh, cool.
And he ruined his life for the rest of it.
Red Ram.
One thing I saw here was kind of cool. John Williams' score was created before the film was edited. Spielberg edited the film to match the music.
That's reverse
what's usually done to make the movie have a more lyrical feel. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That makes sense, since music is such an important part of the movie.
Yeah.
The only thing that kind of bothers me a little bit now, being a father, seeing the movie again, having a son, is Roy's decision to leave with the aliens at the end of the film is...
Spoiler alert.
You already said you're not going to see the movie.
It's also been 30 years, I think.
Yeah.
This, you're going to get angry email. This motherfucker ruined this movie this for me.
Spike Lee is going to tweet out my address shortly after this. So I look.
Spike Lee tweeted out an address
of George Zimmerman.
Oh
yeah, that was deserved. Yeah,
Did that?
Yeah, except it wasn't George Zimmerman's address, and the people who lived there had to move because they were harassed constantly.
It should have said parents of.
So yeah, that kind of, I don't know how to feel about that anymore, because when I was younger, I saw it and I was like, oh man, he's going to go and he's going to be ambassador to Earth, you know, for all these different places. And arguably whatever he's doing out there with the aliens is more important than whatever he would be doing on Earth. But as a father, I have a difficult time looking at that now and saying, "Man, you decided to leave your kids. You know, your wife. You know, that relationship was already going south. But you know, your kids are still there.
Yeah.
So that's the only gripe that I have with the movie now. But aside, and even so, I'm pretty sure that if I was in that position and I was offered an opportunity to see the stars and to do something good for humanity as a whole, I'd probably take that up, because as important as Lincoln is to me, and as much as I love him, you know,
Lincoln is his son.
The thank
not,
you.
Not his number three.
The table. the human race is more important than any one person.
Yeah.
So true. So I do understand the ending, you know, and but
I think you told me this before, that that Steven Spielberg went back to that movie after he had children, and that he considered changing Dreyfuss's role.
Yeah, that he considered that what he said was, if I had made the movie today, now being a father, I wouldn't have had him leave with the aliens.
Got it.
Which I think is really interesting for, you know, a filmmaker to be able to have the opportunity to go back and revisit their movies and say, yeah, I made that as a young man, and you know, now knowing what I know, I wouldn't do that. I don't think it takes anything away from the movie.
Yeah,
I for some reason when I was a kid, I confused this movie, which I never saw, with Batteries Not Included. And I remember loving Batteries Not Included.
Yeah,
and I thought this was the same movie, and then, because I think they came out relatively close together, or so, I don't know.
They're in the 80s.
And so I watched this. I remember watching Batteries Not Included, thinking that I was watching Close Encounters of the Third.
I had the same exact thing as a really young kid, but with a different movie, with Cocoon.
Mm. Right. And that's the other one that I thought Cocoon was the same as... I thought Cocoon was the same as... remember the something of the Spider-Woman?
They were 10 years apart.
Which one?
Close Encounters was 77. Batteries Not Included was 87.
Yeah. So, I don't know, but it's weird. It's about aliens, and I thought there was the same movie.
Right.
So a lighthearted note on Close Encounters Third Kind.
Everybody's dead. Wait, no.
In middle school, I wasn't banned for like 2 years in middle school.
Oh, I did banned for 1 year. Apparently, you got to practice on an instrument.
Yeah.
Who knew? Silly Nary Triangle. That's what it's all about.
You don't become a master tromboner overnight, Nary.
I played the trumpet, or quote unquote, using hard quotes for the playing the trumpet. And I thought that I could just learn shit in class. Yeah. And 40 minutes a day in class is enough to make me become a badass tremor player.
He was like,
he's the next
all you got to do is blow. Here. I'm in. Mm-hmm.
So
I've been doing that since I knew I could.
If there was a stake involved, yeah.
Oh, Christ. So in middle school, I played in the band for 2 years, and it was like $50 a year for my parents to pay for.
Right, it's an extra fee,
It's an extra fee. So the first year I went in, I was like, okay, I got to pick out the instrument. And all the kids ran to their instruments, and I was being nice and patient. And I shouldn't have.
No.
And I got stuck with the tuba. So I had to learn to play tuba for 2 years. which is a pain in the ass on his own.
Well, yeah, because it's either going to be you or the kid that hasn't hit puberty yet. Cooper's a big fucking instrument.
Yeah, fucking huge instrument. So I was like, bro, I'm going to fucking justify playing this goddamn tuba. What's the coolest fucking thing that involves a tuba? The only cool thing is their Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Womp, womp, exactly, womp, that's womp, it.
Nice. Can you still play it?
Yeah, if you gave me a tuba.
Oh, you don't get to keep the tuba at the end of the end of the four years?
You pay public school, bro. What you want? McMillan. Jesus.
I still remember the fingers to do the scale in the trumpet.
Nice. Ooh. It wasn't even the cool tuba. It wasn't even the cool tuba that goes around your body. It's like the one they have to hold up front.
The French tuba.
Oh, Christ.
Is that a thing?
There's a French horn. I know
there's a French horn. I didn't know there was a French tuba. It
goes,
if there is a French tuba.
Ho, 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 ho. Sacre bleu. Ratatouille.
Oh, Christ.
All right, so that Close Encounters, good pick. Honorable mention.
Thank you very much.
My number four
is... Yeah, you, bro. Don't look at me.
My number four is... I'm going to say... Last Crusade.
Ooh. Awesome pick.
My favorite of the Indiana Jones movies.
I was between that or Raiders.
My favorite of the Indiana Jones movies, although...
of the three Indiana Jones movies.
As I said many times, I haven't seen the fourth one.
There is no fourth one.
No, there is a fourth one. It wouldn't make your list.
Oh, we're talking about Young Indiana Jones. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
I love
Young Indiana Jones. Right. I'm sorry, silly me, but that was a TV show.
Right. But I love Last Crusade. I love
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery. You know, going back to the episode a few weeks ago that we talked about when this chick died,
Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher, and you remember you said how you had never seen that roast that she did,
right?
It wasn't a roast. It was her giving a speech at the George Lucas Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And in that speech, Harrison Ford's speech to Lucas was, there's rumors going around about doing a fourth Indiana Jones movie, and the joke that he ended with, or the joke that he had, was, we better hurry up and do it fast, because Sean's getting old. It was the joke,
yeah.
Right, because he's himself getting old.
Right.
So that was the, I forgot that. I was listening to that episode recently, and I was like, fuck, that was a good segue into Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
But going back to The Last Crusade, I love everything about that movie. I am a man of faith. I don't talk about this often, but I am a man of faith, and I do love the fact that they incorporated the
Holy Grail.
Yeah. The Last Jesus. Supper and
that,
yeah.
Everything, all the booby traps that led.
That was
awesome.
That scene, the penitent man.
This is Spielberg's favorite of the three.
The what?
This is his favorite of the three movies.
Ford?
Steven Spielberg's.
Oh, Spielberg. Oh. Okay.
Of the original three.
You know what's my favorite of the things he figures out? Is the cliff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Invisible bridge.
And he throws the sound. I was like, oh, it's genius.
I remember as a kid going like, oh, my God.
It's a leap from the lion's head, right?
A leap from the lion's head, yeah.
What? I'm a nerd.
That is...
That's great. Everything from spelling his name, Jesus' name on a stone.
Yeah.
Jehovah's with a Y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
with an I. Yeah. But in the Hebrew alphabet, Jehovah starts with an I.
And he just fought. Was it I? I thought it was I.
No.
Okay.
It's that candy with a little heart.
And then at that same moment, he steps on the J. He goes, J.
Yeah. So that everything, whole that whole movie was fantastic.
That movie is
five, man, maybe more than that.
It's been probably about 3 years for me. That is, I love the back and forth between him and his father in that movie.
Yes.
And it is probably the best thing about all of Indiana Jones. Any Indiana Jones movie, I would say that is the best interaction between Indy and another character.
Yeah.
That's it.
I have three key scenes that are my favorites from the Indiana Jones original trilogy.
Don't mention the Raiders ones.
No, I'm not going to.
Okay.
But because we'll talk about those.
Well, right. Mentioning,
but in this movie, it's when they're tied up and she's talking to Indy and Indiana Jones Sr. thinks that she's talking to him. Yeah. And he's like, yes, it was for me too. And you see Harrison Ford just looks back like, what? So like, I just, that scene right before the whole thing goes on fire.
Yeah.
I just love that. Just
the train scene in the beginning when he's young.
That opening scene is awesome. Do you know why River Phoenix got the job?
No.
Because he had the same dealer.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, entirely likely. However, what's been said in documentaries is Spielberg asked Harrison Ford between like three guys who were up for the run. I think Richard Grieco was another one who was up for it.
No, clearly picked wrong.
Harrison Ford said he was like, the one who looks the most like me when I was that age is River Phoenix. And so that's why River Phoenix got the role.
That's the dumbest reason to get a fucking role. The one who...
What about the best actor? Happened.
No.
And also...
And the way that transitions...
It wasn't like he was picking between a black guy and a fat guy. You know what I mean? It wasn't like he was like, ah, well, let's just give it to the one who looks more like me.
Did you see Richard Grieco back in those days, bro? You don't know.
Richard Grieco back in those days,
oh,
bro?
My God.
Oh, God. Are you kidding me?
If looks could kill? Oh my God.
Underrated movie.
We got
super underrated.
Super underrated. I have it on VHS. Does
nice. Go that's the only way to watch it.
Yeah. Well, they don't have it on DVD, so that's the only way to watch it.
They have it on DVD. It's just called... $40.
Oh yeah. Jeez. So no, I can't.
How much was it?
It was expensive. It was like 40 bucks.
25 or something, right? That we were like,
nah, like 30. It was not worth it.
Yeah. Not even 20 is worth it.
Yeah. No.
I'm not gonna fucking spend 20.
I might pay 15. I might pay 15.
I'd go in for that extra five if it was 20.
Are we having an auction?
Is that
here?
Including shipping?
I'll give you 30 so I can cover the shipping.
10, 15, 30, 35, 30,
40, 45, 50. I freaking love that movie.
That's a great movie.
I fucking love that movie.
Yeah, awesome. No, I love that movie unironically.
Yeah.
Fucking, I haven't seen it in 10 years.
You are the French teacher. I understand. It's just the fucking Uzi. I'm like, yes. But anyway, we digress.
I think my favorite transition in the entire Indiana Jones franchise is in... that movie where in Last Crusade where Indy has the hat put on him by a character whose name is, by the way, Fedora. He puts the hat on him and the hat comes down and then it focuses in on the hat and when it pulls out it's him on the ship and he's after the Cross of Coronado. Because this belongs in a museum. So do you.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking awesome.
And you know that how they Harrison Ford got into a car accident and he had the cut on his chin. So that's why they had River Phoenix's character. That's how attention to detail Steven Spielberg is. That he actually had him. Well, at that time when he cut himself with the whip when they're on the train.
Oh no, this is. I'm sorry, I confused it for George Lucas. No, you're right.
And then the other part, No Ticket, that's from Last Crusade. Yeah. Like, the other favorite scene of mine is them in Berlin and Hitler signing the fucking book.
Yes, that's a scary scene, man. Yeah. As a kid, I didn't understand what exactly was going on. Like, I knew that it was supposed to be tense, you know, and whoever this guy was...
Well, you saw the uniform and you knew...
Right. You recognize immediately it's a bad guy. Even if you don't know what a swastika is, you know that that's a bad guy. But watching that scene as an adult
is ego on it.
Terrifying. Fucking terrifying.
Ego and a skull. That's not the sign of a good guy.
Yeah. Oh, and then... Marcus probably already has the grill by now, and then you pan out, and it's like, "Hello, anybody speak English? Hello," and he's in the middle of the market.
That's
like
I've spoken about how I have very few problems with this movie. You know, I love the movie, but there's two problems I have with it, and one of them is like a double edged sword where it's a problem, but at the same time, it's fucking awesome. Marcus is one of the problems that I have in this movie because in Raiders of the Lost Ark, Marcus seems like a very capable archaeologist,
right.
And he seems like a very smart man. He seems like an intelligent guy. This and he even tells
some may say that he's top men.
Yeah, he would be right. Top men. He would be top men. You know, and he tells Indy in the scene at the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark. He goes, if this were 10 years ago, I'd be going after the Ark myself.
Right.
Like you get the sense that you know he's old now, and so he doesn't do this anymore. But that he could at one time.
Right.
And to see him in where was it? Cairo or
I don't remember.
Turkey. It was in Turkey.
What are the countries that are banned to travel?
Right. to see him. Not Istanbul. Right, it was Istanbul. To see him. Judge. To see him in Istanbul. And be this bumbling idiot. I understand that he was the comic relief in the film, but for me it was a little disheartening to see this character who, granted, we didn't see very much of in Raiders, but what you did see seemed like a great mentor to Indy. To see him be this bumbling idiot didn't really sit well with me.
I think what
he did was hilarious. And Denham Elliott is a fantastic actor.
Yes.
He's really great. His comedic timing is fantastic. They used him very well in the movie, but it kind of takes away a little bit from that character of his from the first film. Mm-hmm. It's a very small gripe, but it's there nonetheless.
Yeah, so I like Sean Connery a lot.
Who doesn't?
I do. I love that movie. I haven't seen
it. And the barge in the sky.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think I've seen it in 15 years. But I remember watching that movie as a kid, and I remember feeling very fondly about it.
Is that the only time we've ever had hots for a Nazi?
Maybe.
Could be.
Allison Duty.
I can't think. Duty. Alice.
She's Irish.
Nobody else wants to share this list? So.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Table? Oh, I'm sorry. All right. So.
Oh, shit. That's my great pick, man.
Awesome
great
pick.
Awesome pick. Awesome.
Great pick, man.
Yeah.
In and out.
So, number threes.
All right.
Number two.
E.T.
Table,
awesome.
Please.
Awesome.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm just not going to talk for the first few rounds. I'll just sit here.
So my number three, it probably is not going to be on anyone else's list. I credit this movie and I credit Steven Spielberg because this movie has inspired our modern technology right now. And that, my number three, guys, is Minority Report.
Yeah, as soon as you said that, I knew you were talking about.
I fucking love Minority Report.
No,
it's a great pick. It was between The Last Crusade and Minority Report. Yeah. I fucking love Minority Report.
Minority Report... It came out, I want to say
2002.
First, he did a really cool thing with that movie. He used the film on that movie is actually grainy. And when you look at the movie, it actually has some grain to it. Like it has some like kind of spotty shots. The reason he did that is because he wanted to put a more classical style while pitching all these futuristic ideas.
You know how they did that?
Wow.
They ran it through Bleach.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I love
Minority Report, or as I like to call it, iRobot Diet. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
iRobot Light.
Everything could think of like technology wise, swiping, holograms, automated cars, like every.
But we still don't have holograms now.
No, we have holograms. I mean,
technology exists, but it's not like prevalent. It's not
right.
Like,
no.
We're getting there.
Imagine that. When you just open up your phone and you have a conversation with a fucking. With how many of those messages are you going to get? Help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope. How many of those are you going to fucking get?
For the first 25 years, at least three a month.
Yeah.
All going to be from me.
Yeah, it's not going to be. I got another message from David. Just delete it, bro. You know what it says.
Every time, you don't know.
I am going to go to a seamstress and make that dress so that I can put it on every time.
Every time someone goes to Dunkin' Donuts, they're going to call you. Puns. Bro, it's just an awesome movie. I think it's an amazing pairing between him and Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise, of course, we've talked about before, is one of the greatest action stars and one of the greatest actors of our time. The story is great. It not only involves like
Colin Farrell's in it.
Farrell's in it. Max von Sydow's in it.
The TV show was good too.
I like
it. I watched it.
The TV show was good. It dealt with the three.
The twins. The precogs.
Yeah.
The triplets.
So that's another thing. Like it delved into like hardcore technology science with this theoretical kind of still.
Is it right? Is it morally right to arrest somebody before they physically actually commit the crime? I remember thinking as a kid, like, no, yeah, arrest them. And then I'm thinking like, well, it's kind of still fucked up though, right? Like, it made me guess myself, like second guess myself. Because originally, I mean, 2002, I was probably 19, 20, whatever it was. And I remember thinking like, yeah, no, fucking arrest him. And then I was like, wait, hold on now.
they haven't technically done anything wrong. And I remember thinking about that during the movie. Like, that's a great movie where it can make you think, like, you know, social, you know, commentary. Like, oh, you know, would you rather have security or would you rather have
freedom?
Know, freedom.
And, that, and you can't ever have complete security without having no freedom.
Not only that, the sacrifice that this society made, that they basically imprisoned these people, these precogs, to allow this technology and keep them drugged up and stuff like that. Is that correct as well? It's a really good fucking story. I mean, guys, think about every time you swipe on your iPhone, every time you swipe on anything, that's all because of Tom Cruise doing that in one scene.
Not true. When I have oral sex and I'm swiping, that's
Oh man,
that is instinctual.
You know, Minority Report started out as a sequel for Total Recall.
Really?
Both the stories are written by the same sci-fi writer,
by Philip K. Dick.
Philip K. Dick, and so this was originally supposed to be developed. You make that joke every time I bring him up. Somehow we mention Philip K. Dick like every three or four episodes. And yeah, so it
which in Spanish, in English, translates from Spanish to "what a dick."
The best is after you said that joke, they can't see it, but you just gave me the side eye, sexy side eye. That was,
I wanted to find out. Dick.
You want a good dick?
And Colin Farrell later was in Total Recall.
Yes, right.
Ironically.
Yeah. I didn't care for it as much as the original.
I loved
it. It was good, but it didn't have it.
It filled my quota. Two explosions, I'm fucking. All I care for.
Start out as a sequel for Total Recall, and then it fell into like development hell, and you know
what? And they make a callback to Total Recall because at one point, Tom Cruise is in many movies. Tom Cruise is running,
in every movie. There's not a single movie
that guy, because Homeboy can run.
Yeah,
he's running away from.
Let me tell you, no one looks better running.
That's a Family Guy spoof where he's running, and then like you see like the cloud, the thought cloud, and he was like, "You can't run away from your homosexual thoughts." He's like, "Watch me."
Like, does anyone look better running on screen than Tom Cruise?
Well,
I mean, besides women, of course.
Nobody's had enough practice.
Daniel Craig?
Oh. I don't know what the hell that was.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Daniel Craig?
I don't know.
Zac Efron in the Baywatch trailer?
That scene in Madagascar in Casino Royale.
I thought you meant the movie Madagascar. I was like,
"Who?" Yeah, I was like, "He's in." I know David Schwimmer was in it.
Michael B. Jordan in Creed.
Another great running scene. Stallone.
Nah, he doesn't look as good as.
I mean,
I love Stallone. I love Rocky, but he doesn't look as good running as Tom Cruise. I mean, Tom Cruise, and it's always a black shirt and jeans for some reason. I don't understand. That's his thing.
Because what works, works.
But back to that. He was running through a building, and there's a guy who's like simulating. They are actually running through like a VR area where people are simulating their dreams. So it might tie into Total Recall.
That's interesting. I got to watch it again because it's been a long time since I've seen Minority Report.
I'm telling you, there's so much
cool
shit in that movie that you can see. A lot of people say that artistry helps develop technology. Like some people say that with Star Wars helped develop, and Star Trek developed a lot of technology. But I think the Minority Report has a big say in today's technology. And that's my number 3.
That's a great pick.
Awesome.
Minority Report.
That's a great story. It's a great like neo noir, mystery story.
It's a certified fresh at 90.
Yeah,
Didn't
know that,
and deservedly so, I think.
Yeah. And this is he was coming off like social performances and other movies like Terminal.
Never had a social performance.
No, not Tom Cruise. Well, War of the Worlds.
that wasn't a social performance. That was a social movie.
Yeah.
But his performance was fantastic.
Yeah, he was good in that movie.
That movie was the only movie, not to get onto the Tom Cruise thing a lot, but War of the Worlds was the one movie.
Well, it's a Spielberg movie. We can talk about
it. Being the quote unquote best at something.
Table.
Nope. I forgot the War of the Worlds was directed by Spielberg. That's the one Tom Cruise movie I could think of that he wasn't the quote unquote best at what
particular job that he did. It might be he's the best. He's literally the best spy on the planet. Even when he does the Rock movie, Rock of Ages, he's the number one rock star.
Right.
Like everything, it's Top Gun. He's the number one pilot. Like he is always the best at what he does. And World of Worlds, he's just a divorced dad that's fucking trying to make it and trying to
get
Kendall related. I'm like, oh, well, this is weird.
Yeah,
he can throw very hard, though. He can throw baseball very hard in that movie. But, all right, go ahead.
It's a great Steven Spielberg movie. I suggest any of you guys go out see it.
If you want to buy it, it's $7 each for each of us.
Oh, there you go.
I spent a lot of money this last week.
That's why I can't shoot it.
Yeah.
All right,
go for it.
Minority Report. Nope. Okay,
David.
My number three will very likely be tabled, and that is Saving Private Ryan.
Table.
Table.
Okay, thought so.
Table.
Multiple explosions.
Ironically enough, that's what was started playing while you guys were talking was the trailer.
For Saving Private Ryan.
And yeah. All
right. My number three is Hook.
Awesome pick, man.
Honorable mention, bro.
I love that movie. I forget that it's a Steven Spielberg movie because it's very unlike anything else he's ever done.
Yeah.
Since, like I look at the throughout, even when he does like kid movies, which he did like My BFG recently last year, and he did, which I heard was great, got great reviews, and he did Adventures of Tintin. Like those are kid movies, but they're not like, it doesn't have the feel of Hook. Hook has that feel of like, any kid, no matter what year it is, 20 years from now, kids will be able to watch that movie and be like, this is what Peter Pan is supposed to be. Like, even if it's a different telling of Peter Pan, it's still like, yeah. This, and who the fuck could look at a big... I can't sit down at a restaurant with a big table without thinking about that scene.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know, and fucking... And I don't know. I've been known to have the screen name Rufio for a couple of things.
Oh, so.
Rufio!
He was at Paradise City. He was at Paradise City Comic Con.
Yeah,
we didn't get a chance to
Dante
go.
Brasco.
Yeah,
Dante Brasco.
Brasco. Brasco. Something like that.
Rufio.
Oh, looky! I got Hooky.
He must hate that. I mean, how many times has he?
Every time we walked in the area of his table, you hear. And I'm like, bro, this motherfucker probably hates
life. He walking through airports. Imagine how many times he gets Rufio. I'd do it. I would do it. I know, even though I know it would be annoying to him, I would still do it. I'm like, I have to. You know, I have to. I'm sorry. Hook to me was great. I love the fact that they made the fat kid the fucking leader at the end. I thought it was fantastic.
Spoiler alert.
Oh my god.
I always love that. I'm like, yeah, it's good.
And then when he rolls down the plank.
So good. Rufio, Dante Brasco's ship gets captured by Somalian pirates, and the guy goes, "Look at me. Look at me. I'm the Pan now."
And then he just goes,
"Just shoot me. Just shoot me in the fucking head, dude."
Look, I don't mind getting robbed, but this is too much.
Yeah, there's a limit, motherfucker. So, there's so many beautiful scenes, like when they're imagining the meal.
Oh, yes.
And it's like,
when I go to a restaurant and there's like a big group of us, I'm like, I can't. That's what I envision is that meal.
Yeah.
That scene's great because.
That kid does a great job acting.
That's when Robin Williams turns back into Pan.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that's my favorite scene in the whole movie.
Yep.
There's so many.
That movie's so good, you forget Julia Roberts is in that movie, bro.
She's so hot.
Yeah, no, she is.
Oh, God.
That pixie cut.
Not a fan of Julia Roberts with the pixie cut. My horses to have long manes.
Oh.
Whoa.
Whoa. Hold on there.
Wow.
Sorry, I don't want to see her eat the carrot.
Hey, you're
much.
Confusing it with Sarah Jessica Parker.
No, I'm confusing. That's a thoroughbred. I'm confusing.
Hang on, their neighbor. Okay. I think. Wow, you really don't like.
I think that with the pixie cut, I don't like the way she looks. In Pretty Woman, wow, beautiful long hair. She looks amazing, right? Her mane looks great. Once you give her that short haircut, no, I'm sorry, man.
Wow.
I'm like.
I find her with that short hair irresistible.
Wow. You're crazy.
Pretty great.
You're crazy talk.
That's probably my favorite.
I'm gonna sound, you are crazy
you
talk.
You are crazy talk.
As a Disney fan, I'm going to sound and, a little like out of the board. I think that's my favorite depiction of Tinkerbell thinking about now.
Oh, no, nah, I still take the
movie.
The movie.
Animated 1978,
68? 57?
No, it's gotta be
are we just screaming out dates? 1842.
Yeah, that was a great year. Christopher Columbus discovered America, and Disney gave us Peter Pan.
Out of the womb, motherfucker. So,
I said 1842, but sure, we'll go not 1492, but we'll go
1953.
Yeah. I said 57.
You numbers. You win. You're closer. I said 1800, so you're. I was way.
No, no, you didn't go over.
Yeah, you win. True. Yeah. That's true. Win. Yeah,
price is wrong, bitch.
No, I Julia Roberts with the pixie haircut does not do it for me.
No, and Mr. Smee's
Bob Hoskins.
Bob Hoskins.
Yeah,
not since Super Mario Brothers have I loved Bob Hoskins in a role of that.
No, not Eddie Valiant.
You know, God damn it!
I liked him as Mario.
I did.
No, I did too.
The
movie sucks, but he's great, and so is Leguizamo.
I loved him and his air quotes Italian Mexican brother.
The Colombian. Fuck was that?
Colombian asshole. Like Jesus.
I think it's half Colombian, half Puerto Rican. No, actually,
well, he's yeah. But he yeah.
Is he?
Yes.
Yes. Oh.
You learn stuff every day. I thought he was a cholo.
But Hook is, I mean, there's so many quotable parts of Hook. And there's so much, like, Easter egg, crazy cool stuff in that movie. David actually has a really great fact about that movie, and about Robin Williams specifically in that movie. You want to tell it, David?
He was Pan.
I don't
he
know
what
you're referring
to. He was born in Colombia. He was born in Bogota.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but isn't his dad like...
It doesn't matter. He was born in Bogota.
Okay, I'm sorry. What fact about Robin
Williams? Is it Robin Williams' upper body and arms were shaved for his role? Was that really it?
It was the only time he's ever been shaved.
Was that really it?
No, that's not true. That's not the only time. He's been shaved. He shaves on and off for different roles depending on the role.
I guessed that one out of all the fucking facts that were in IMDb.
Ever said that before?
Yeah, you have. You're actually the person who told me that.
Who?
I said that?
Yeah.
I did not know this. Bob Hoskins would later reprise his role as Smee in Neverland in 2011.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, the word bangarang is actually Jamaican slang and is defined as a hubbub, uproar, disorder, or disturbance.
Bangarang, bro. But there's other cool, really cool stuff about that movie. Do you guys remember the Boo Boo Box?
I'm sorry?
The Boo Box.
I don't know that.
The Boo Box.
The Boo Box.
I don't do
Boo. The box they put the pirate with scorpions.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know who that pirate is that they put in the Boo Box?
Drawing blank.
Mrs. Glenn Close.
Oh, you know what? Yes, I did know that. Wow. I did know
Mrs.
that.
Glenn Close. Do you want to know who the inspector is who tries to investigate the missing kids in London? Phil Collins.
Nice.
Did you know who one of the
I did know the Phil Collins.
Did you know who one of the pirates who attempts to steal Peter Pan's shoes when he first arrives at Neverland is? Jimmy Buffett.
Are you serious?
I did know that.
That's awesome. Did you see so many cool
Did you
shit?
Know that Hook is Dustin Hoffman?
I did not know.
And it was supposed to be David Bowie. He turned down the role.
Are you serious?
David Bowie.
That I didn't know.
I'm serious. I didn't just pull that name out of my head.
How long before this was what the fuck was it?
Labyrinth.
Yeah.
It's got to be a wire.
John Leguizamo was accepted into Lee Strasberg's acting studio. And studied with the master for one day before Strasberg died. Oof. And Leguizamo was quoted as saying, I have that effect on people.
Carrie Fisher was Steven Spielberg's original prototype for Tinkerbell.
Hmm.
What?
Carrie Fisher was Steven Spielberg's original prototype for Tinkerbell. And she actually did some rewrites on the final script.
Mm-hmm. That would have been nice. Better, but Pretty Woman was super popular, so.
Let me tell you, as much as I love Ziggy Stardust, there is no one better to play Captain Hook than Dustin Hoffman.
I gotta agree. Hoffman was incredible.
Incredible.
And I like Bowie as an actor. I mean, as everything.
Oh, yeah.
But as an actor, and I think Hoffman was the right choice.
Oh, so totally. All right. Good pick, bro.
Good pick.
Solid. Yeah.
All right, so that's my...
Did you just fall down like a Leguizamo wormhole?
Yeah, he did.
I'm trying to get because it's just it just says here he claims to be Puerto Rican, Italian, and Lebanese descent.
Okay.
But he was born in Bogota and his mom is Colombian.
Okay, so he's Mexican.
So I don't understand where he's coming up with the rest because I don't see the rest here.
Probably grandparents are from one place.
You know, I had an ex-girlfriend who is Colombian, and mm-hmm. she doesn't like Leguizamo because she claims the same thing you claim about what's his name, that he's denied,
his Colombianness,
his heritage,
his Guatemalanness,
his
natural.
Are you intimidated by my Guatemalanness?
Simultaneously the funniest and the most fucking racist thing on that movie. I've heard him in interviews be proud of being Hispanic and talk about being Latino and all that mm-hmm. shit there. And but I think when he first started, I think that's where that story originated from.
Yeah.
Is that when he first started in Hollywood, he was like, oh, I'm everything. I'm Lebanese and Puerto Rican. Like, because he was trying, I'm assuming he was just trying to get all the roles. Or,
yeah.
You know, not, he wasn't trying to get pigeonholed.
It's possible. Yeah, and it sucks that Latino actors have to go through that, you know,
or had to at least.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, still not.
No, they still have to. They yeah. still have to.
I mean, no.
You know, guys like Oscar Isaac and Leguizamo and Diego Luna are opening yeah. doors for people, but you know, it's still
Javier Bardem.
Yeah. But I mean, but he's Spanish, so he's
Julia.
He's technically a white guy. He's not. He's not Latino.
Antonio Banderas.
Let's
Spaniard.
Play.
Yeah.
Salma
Hayek.
Spaniard.
Mexican.
No, Mexican. She's Mexican. Yeah, she's okay. Mexican.
I know that.
Also, she's hot as fuck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So. Fun fact.
Fun fact.
Hot as shit.
Fun fact. Her and Penelope Cruz were in a movie. Did not get naked. Very sad thing.
That's not a fun
fact. That's not a fun fact. No, that's the opposite.
It's
yeah.
an anti-fact. It's an alternative fact.
Yeah, Vicky Cristina Barcelona, right? Wasn't that the one they were?
Pepito Manuela Jose Perez. Yeah, can say names too. Like, make up like titles.
Once Upon a Time in Mexico?
No. There's another one that they play. Like, they're the main stars.
Can we talk about Salma Hayek's, like, I mean, in Dust Till Dawn. Dust Till Dawn.
It's from Dust Till Dawn Part 3 that, what's his name's in? Johnny Depp's in.
Yeah. No, wait. Yeah.
That's something.
No, no. Once Upon a Time Mexico's Desperado, part the third part for Desperado.
Right.
Dust Till Dawn. You said Dust Till Dawn.
I did say that. I'm sorry.
You know what? I recently.
John, you got it confused with Bon Jovi, who's in the sequel to From Dust Till Dawn.
That's yes. exactly yeah. what I was thinking.
Or no, it's Vampires. It might be Vampires.
It's Vampires.
Is it Vampires? It might be Vampires.
What was I going to say? Salma Hayek was in this movie recently called Savages.
I like the fact that somebody's listening right now going like, this has nothing to do with Spielberg. What the fuck? And we're like, continue talking
yeah,
about
go on. So
I came here for the little mountain.
She was the best part of that movie.
Savages was a cool movie.
I never saw Savages.
That's with Kick-Ass and...
It was a Kick-Ass, the wife of Ryan Reynolds and...
Blake
and Salma Hayek. And sorry, the other guy, Benicio del Toro.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a movie that everybody was in, right?
Kind
of. There was like a lot of people in that fucking movie.
I think it was Oliver Stone directed it. And that movie was crap, except for Salma Hayek's part and Benicio del Toro.
Yeah.
What's his name in that movie too? Brad Pitt?
I don't think so, bro. No, you're thinking of The Accountant.
No.
Brad Pitt was not in The Accountant.
Not The Accountant. No, there's one. Yeah,
no,
there was one.
I'm actually not thinking about that because The Accountant, he was
the one with Michael Fassbender and Cameron Diaz. That's the one you're thinking of.
That's not The Accountant. Oh, yeah, Taylor Kitsch from Friday Night Lights is also in it. That guy.
I know who he is.
All right, I'm just. Know.
John Carter? Why are you fucking?
Oh, John Carter. That's right.
Mm. Deliciousness. The Counselor.
Travolta's in Savages.
He is in Savages. He's bald in Savages. For Travolta.
Totally irrelevant, but seeing as though we've already gone off the rails.
Yeah.
Did you know that Disney has registered the tartan for Clan McDuck with the Scottish Registry?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
How fucking awesome is that?
So many words there I do not understand.
The tartan is like the crest, the family crest.
Yeah.
I know that because my son's a Scottish lord.
Yeah.
Somebody bought him a square foot of land in Scotland.
Oh.
Shout out to Karam, my buddy in England.
So are you an attaché to Scotland?
That's right.
Nice.
A cultural
I'm a cultural attaché.
It's a diplomatic position of sorts.
FYI, don't remember hearing that word ever before rewatching The Birdcage 2 weeks ago. Watching Frasier, Heard it five times.
Oh yeah,
it's a shade of sorts.
And that's one episode. And that's one episode.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my god.
But yeah.
All right. So number two. We're at what number?
Number three.
Now it's number. Now it's number two. You just said you're number three.
Was that about his briefcase?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, there was multiple. There was a couple of different ones. I'm serious. He said attaché a couple of times throughout the
right.
Attaché.
All right. So number twos.
A mind saving Private Ryan.
Table.
Okay.
Okay.
That's three in a row that I table.
Mine is mine is higher. I think we could talk about this now. Mine is E.T. Number
two. There we go.
All right.
Saddest fucking movie.
I
top 10 saddest movies of all time.
The running joke among my friends.
I can't rewatch that movie.
Oh, what?
I tried. It's so fucking sad. I'm like, I can't rewatch this movie. I can't rewatch Gremlins. When they fucking string up the dog with Christmas lights. I can't fucking watch this, man.
I think that E.T. is more beautiful than it is sad.
I think E.T. is beautifully sad. And I can't separate the two, and it's fucking hurtful.
I
think it's beautiful in the moments that it's sad. There's a lot of beauty to it. But it's so sad. And yes, it is so beautiful, but I can't fucking take it. I'm not watching that again. That shit hurts my fucking heart.
But maybe that's what makes it such a good movie, because you feel that way for that movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He did a fantastic job directing.
Yeah, he's not saying it in a bad way.
I can't re-watch this movie. It's so sad to me. I think Passion of the Christ is one of the most brilliant movies ever made. I'm not saying that because I'm a believer. I'm saying that because
somebody that hates the Jews so much made that movie.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Oh, my God. Shit.
Oh, Mel Gibson doesn't hate a Jew? Okay, you're
he
right.
He has made
no,
amends.
That's not, oh, no, that's
he
not. Yeah, because that's amends. What you said. And that, that's totally what you just said.
That's what you said.
No, I said because the guy who wrote it hates the Jews, and he goes, you said he's not wrong.
Meaning that you're not wrong.
Oh, okay, because we all
the way I took it is the way Jeff took
no,
it.
No, I meant.
I was like, fuck, Neary.
I meant just not wrong. What you just said was not wrong. Right. Was not incorrect.
But you can see how that could be misconstrued.
Yeah.
I'm like, so, how
for clarity purposes, Neary was saying Jeff was right.
I just said that, yes. No, but I honestly believe Passion of the Christ is one of the best movies ever made. Cinematically, acted, well written. The cinematography is out fucking rageous. I can't watch that movie again.
It's really hard to watch.
I saw it once in movie theaters. I'm not watching it again. I'm not watching that movie again. E.T., I tried watching it maybe, I don't know, 8 years ago, and I was like, I can't. It's hurting me. It hurts my heart. I can't. It's not like Up, where you're like, okay, just get past this 2 minutes and we're fucking home free.
Yeah. It's the whole movie.
The whole movie is so fucking much.
I have a running joke with my friends that they play the E.T. song to this day, and I start getting choked up.
The
theme song.
It is so beautiful.
Like they'll do it just to fuck with me. They'll start playing it, and I'm like, I don't realize it, and I'm like, bro, am I getting my eyes getting watered?
Beautiful.
Fuck.
It's everything.
The original, not the stupid E.T. pussy version where everything got turned into walkie talkies.
Right.
Fucking millennials.
E.T. But you know he's restored
the original. Good.
After he saw all the hate that Lucas was getting, he was like, oh wait, I gotta rethink this.
This guy's such a dickhead.
Go ahead, keep talking.
Motherfucker. Yeah,
I have to because there's a car accident happening right now.
I'm not crying, you're crying.
So one thing I will say about Steven Spielberg, and something I think everyone should take away from Steven Spielberg, is that the guy knows how to make movies magical. And this is like the epitome of making a movie magical.
I am not going to disagree with you.
Motherfucker, turn this off.
E.T. is such a beautiful creature.
The bikes go flying.
He's such a beautiful creature, man.
Turn this shit off.
They jump the cops.
You motherfuckers, turn this off.
Hey, Jeff, it's okay, because you know what?
Why didn't he just stay with Elliot?
Right.
Why didn't he just stay with Elliot?
Because he had done what he was here to do.
Yeah, he captured my heart.
Exactly.
Captured all of our hearts. Reese's Pieces as well.
Right, you know, I eat Reese's Pieces to this day because of fucking E.T.
I
eat Reese's Pieces because they're delicious.
Well, they're delicious.
I was going to say,
but I
you're
first
fat.
Started eating Reese's Pieces because
that
of E.T.
movie magic bullshit. They are delicious.
You didn't have to explain to me why you guys eat Reese's Pieces. No, I have eyes. I did when I was visiting my buddy in California. We did a day where we went to shooting locations, and the farthest place out, but I had to go to, was the house where they filmed E.T. at.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there. I have a photo. It's on Facebook somewhere from like years ago. And it was cool. I got to see the house and I was like, this is pretty awesome. This is like, I remember this house. This is really cool.
Did they have any cocaine residue when Drew Barrymore was doing cocaine?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's true.
No, yeah, I mean, it's true. He's not wrong. He's not wrong.
But dear God.
But that
a midget in the E.T. costume were fucking doing it up.
Oh my God.
Like, and the thing is, there's like, wanna Steven Spielberg did so many like subtle things. Like most of the films filmed at child height.
Right.
And it's like, you don't see, besides Elliot's mom, you don't see any adults until the last 30 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's like it's very childlike.
And whatever
very,
you see is obscured. Like right. With glasses, like the G-Men and stuff like that. The music
so
in this movie is fucking brilliant. The way that Williams is able to get you from the magic of E.T., because what you just played, that's fucking magic incarnate. And I know that everyone talks about Harry Potter and how great a movie series it is and the magic in it, and it is all that, but I think that the score of E.T. captures magic better than Harry Potter does.
It's the strings.
It's
the wind instrument.
It's everything.
There's a reason why that ride
when
still
you think magic, it's wind, right? It's like magical, whimsical.
A little bit. A little
whimsical.
Bit. There's,
yeah.
There's a lot
yeah.
of things. It's
like wind instruments capture magic.
There's whimsy.
Yeah.
In the whimsies.
There's a reason that ride still exists at Universal when they've updated all the other ones.
Everything else has been changed.
Because that movie still to this day, it only took fucking E.T. 18 years to fucking say my name at the end and thank me for saving his planet.
Well, that's your name. Imagine mine.
Oh yeah,
I'm still waiting.
I can't get him inside.
So
you're just in time. We're talking about E.T.
So really quick, that ride's amazing. Actually, for a long time, I used to love that ride. That ride's kind of lost its luster a little bit, but
you go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Continue.
I disagree.
I still ride that shit, and if I can.
Even
I get the basket.
Psychedelic part in the end.
If I can, I get the basket.
Bro,
you go to save his.
It's so
his
beautiful.
Planet.
You finally get to see him
fucking,
on his planet.
You fucking selfish son of a bitch. He went and you go and save his planet.
Look him.
Welcome back.
Yeah,
you've come home.
And then, the plants come to life. Some,
and the little ETs as they
the little
ETs
are
swinging
cute.
On the fucking vines.
They're as cute.
Did you see the...
Yeah, what?
So, E.T.'s face was modeled after poet Carl Sandburg, Albert Einstein, and a pug. That's how they came up with E.T.'s face.
I can see the eyes now, Albert Einstein.
Nowhere in there is a fucking testicle sack.
Nowhere in that list is the obvious.
I say you got to double check your source there, man. Because
E.T.'s plants included some made from inflated condoms with polyester blooms.
Oh, man. Jeez. Let me tell you.
There's the magic.
One of the most powerful moments in that movie, and one of the scariest moments in the movie, you are afraid of astronauts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In that movie. That one scene when they all come through the house. Holy shit. That is a terrifying scene.
The fear of all adults.
Yeah.
The fear that you can't trust them.
Yeah.
That they're trying to take your innocence away from you. That they're trying to take your childhood away from you. The magic away from you. I mean, Spielberg was in his, 40s when he made this movie? He fucking captures that in a way that so few people can.
Yeah.
It's such a great fucking movie.
Yeah.
And it gave us the film debut of C. Thomas Howell.
Yeah.
Apparently that was his film debut.
Was it?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That this was voted one of the 20th greatest film of all time by Entertainment Weekly.
Wow. Have you seen his casting video of him? This is the first thing this kid ever did. His casting video kills you. Like, it's like, oh my God, this kid needed to be the kid.
C. Thomas Howell?
Yes.
Oh.
So
that's not the same kid that was in Flight of the Navigator, was it?
No. That was not.
It was a different kid.
I don't know if he did anything else. I'm trying.
C. Thomas Howell?
Yeah,
dude, he did he was in a fucking shit ton of movies that Christie's yelling at me for not knowing off the top of my head. But C. Thomas Howell. He did. He did. God, fucking damn it! I'm sorry. He was in The Outsiders.
Yeah, the Believer.
Sorry, I forgot.
The Outsiders was great.
Red Dawn.
Red Dawn.
The original one.
Nice.
Yeah, he did a
the original. Never mind.
But yeah, man, this movie is just fantastic. And again, it's a show's great collaboration between, I think Kathleen Kennedy helps produce it, Steven Spielberg with this movie, and John Williams.
Actually, John C. Riley's done like
7,000 films. No worries.
John C. Riley's done like 7,000 films, by the way.
Yeah. And that's so that's my number two.
He's starred in one.
I'm going to kick myself in the butt for not knowing that. He was in that incredibly racist movie Soul Man.
Yes.
Where he dyes his skin black so that he can go to a college that he wants to.
I remember the movie. I didn't see it.
Yeah. I just kicked my... I should have known that because I own that movie. I love
that movie. I believe that movie?
Of course I own that movie.
Soul Man.
Do not get confused for Soul Plane.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I'm trying to find it. It's 86.
It's like in the 80s.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I remember that movie. All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that was my number three. Your number two.
My number two.
My number two. I know is going to get tabled, and it is Jaws.
Yeah, tabled.
Please.
Okay. I'll write that down.
It's not like I'm wearing an orca shirt or anything. That, it's not difficult for that to be to realize that.
We're going
to
need a bigger boat.
Jaws. No?
Sean Connery.
Jaws. Number two is...
That was like a mix. I was like, when did Bane fight Jaws?
Jaws. Your best. My number two is Jurassic Park.
But that's my number four. And it's...
That's an honorable mention for me.
Honorable mention as well.
Such a good movie.
That's a fan. That movie is so good that I hadn't seen it in 10 years or 15 or whatever long it was. And I bought it like 2 years ago on the Steelbook Blu-ray. The 20th anniversary.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
And I bought it and I put it in and I was mouth open. Mouth agape.
That movie holds up so well.
Oh, yeah.
So
well.
Wow.
So well.
I'm looking at... In that first scene where you first see the huge...
Brachiosaurus.
Yeah, when he's looking at the plant, the leaf, and she's like, you may want to fucking
look at the giant thing. That's right.
I was like, oh my God. I saw that movie when it first came out, and I want to say 22. I was 12, 13 when that movie first came out. Now I was 32.
It's about right,
33.
Yeah, I was like 7.
I was 32, 33, and thinking, oh my. Like, I was still in fucking awe of that movie.
I still remember the theater I went to go see it at, and it was where the Shaq 24 Hour Fitness was. It was a Kendall.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
AMC.
I remember AMC. I went there with my parents to go see it.
It was an AMC 14, I believe.
I think so.
Yeah.
But
I love that movie. Everything about that movie. You want to talk about score?
Wow. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. That fucking score is...
Have you ever heard... I'll find it on the interwebs. There's the score slowed down by 100%.
No.
It's ridiculously slow. But it is so beautiful because you hear the strings swell up each and every time. Oh man, it's that is an incredible score.
I was saying earlier how E.T. had magic to it. So does Jurassic Park.
Oh yeah,
and we talk a lot on this podcast
again,
about
wind instruments.
Yeah, we talk a lot about this podcast about what a movie is and not what a movie should be. What this movie is unlike many other movies that try to do dinosaur movies, unlike many other movies that try to pull off cloning and hardcore genetics, this movie did it in bounds. And everything holds up. Again, it's a great collaborative effort between three geniuses at the time. Steven Spielberg directing, John Williams with the score, and Stan Winston doing probably his best effects work ever.
Bro, that is the reason why the movie holds up.
Yeah.
Because they used practical special effects.
The Triceratops.
Oh, there it is. Fuck. Good.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
You want to talk about crying? Like, this makes me...
Bro, and Richard Attenborough.
I didn't get emotional watching this as a kid, and as an adult, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's so magical. Please build a real park.
Bro, I'm getting goosebumps. Just listening to
you guys have clearly gone over the best part of the entire movie,
which is Ian Malcolm.
Jeff Goldblum.
Played by the glorious Jeff Goldblum.
I would like to say that this is actually my most quoted movie. I do so many quotes in this goddamn movie.
I don't believe
my
I believe that your
my favorite character is Sam Neill.
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter as well. Street Fighter is my top five.
Yeah.
Quick, change the channel.
You do plan on having dinosaurs on your dinosaur tour, right? I hate that, man.
By the way, in watching the movie again, totally unnecessary.
What?
The whole reason for that visit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Malcolm is totally unnecessary.
Fact. Yeah.
He's a theorist. He could have been stayed at home and been I don't approve or I do approve, but there's no reason. Yeah.
But so, he wanted to prove to him that chaos theory had no place there.
Yeah.
Can we talk about one of the
didn't
best?
Work out. No, obviously.
Can we talk about fucking Samuel Jackson?
Oh, Samuel Jackson.
Yeah. In that fucking movie. And
another movie where the black guy dies. The first one to die is a black man.
He wasn't the first one to die.
No, he wasn't. But there was another black man.
Do you know how many
shoot him?
How many times I make turns in my car and I go, hold on to your butts. Yeah. Oh my god!
Sometimes
you know
I look
you say when you're
every
you know
time
what I say I swear to God this is true. Whenever I gotta make a U-turn and it's not because I don't even drive anymore so much as I used to. But whenever I gotta make a U-turn, I always say, "Flip this bitch." Flip this bitch. Anybody, what movie?
No,
I know, right?
I saw it one time in theaters. One time in theaters.
No, I don't know. I have it on DVD.
I saw it recently on TV. And I fucking stayed watching.
It's good
with Hawkeye.
Yeah.
I was like, ah.
I did not like Colin it when Farrell, I saw the movies.
Yeah,
Michelle
and Hawkeye,
Rodriguez,
Jeremy Renner.
Yep,
he's his partner.
Yep,
that turns on
LL Cool J people.
Just has such a good movie.
And Laura Dern.
Laura
right?
Dern.
Oh my god, she's gorgeous.
And Halle Berry's ex-husband. The French guy.
Oh.
I will pay $1 million to whoever gets better.
And the film, like,
also in Unfaithful.
That is the guy from Unfaithful.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah. I need to go watch that. Every time you mention that movie, I go home and down and watch it. God,
that speech that Sam Neill gives to the little boy.
Yes.
Where he takes out the raptor talon and he starts talking about how he's gonna gut him here and then he
I remember there was a fan theory floating around
sets it up so perfectly
that
Chris
Pratt was that kid grown up.
I kind of hope that that's
too.
True.
I really still hope that's true. Bro, this movie has so many great fucking scenes.
The T-Rex with the water.
Clever girl.
The glass on the... talk about suspenseful. Yes. The glass on
that's
the...
That's got to be one of the most famous scenes in any movie ever. With the water
dripping.
Vibrating.
Yeah.
Oh.
One and of the most copied scenes in like every spoof movie.
Yeah.
They have... For 20 years now, they have fucking done.
Can I say my one gripe with the movie?
What?
Those super children that were able to fend off the T-Rex just with that pane of glass? When it smashed through the roof?
You gotta have some
That thing should have smashed the shit out of them.
You gotta have some movie magic.
With the strength of that T-Rex those two kids.
I think he should have broken their legs, but I don't think that...
Because they were holding straight up.
I'm not sure that the glass would break.
I'm okay with the glass not breaking, but they should have broken. They should have at least, arm in a sling.
Right. Just like a sprain.
Even if you could get past that, when that kid got electrocuted on the fence,
he should have been dead.
Is it wrong that I felt kind of good when that happened?
50,000
volts. That kid was kind of
a little bitch. Volts, right?
It's crazy.
He should not have hands.
And can we talk about the lawyer getting eaten by the T-Rex?
On the shitter.
Which, why did he fucking take his pants off?
Well, because he wasn't shitting. He was hiding.
Pooping. He was hiding, yeah.
No, but
he's wearing shorts. You think he's wearing pants, but he's wearing shorts.
I thought he had unbuckled his shorts, and I'm like, why? You're hiding. You're not really taking a shit, are you?
No, I don't think he buckled his shorts.
Maybe I'm wrong. Okay.
No,
because he was
wearing shorts. You're right. Oh, so it looks weird.
I mean, and it just...
I love that line. I brought you out here to fend me off the blood-sucking lawyer. Now the only one on my side is the blood-sucking lawyer. No offense. And he goes, no, take it.
I mean, and the whole scene with the raptors in the kitchen and all that.
Bro, the whole reason we are afraid of raptors is because of Jurassic Park.
The only reason I know about Velociraptors is Jurassic, be real. Jurassic Park. Because before that, it was Triceratops and T-Rexes that were the meat eaters.
Stegosaurus.
Yeah.
Brachiosaurus. That tail.
Meat eater.
A tail. I think that no.
It's not. First of all, Triceratops and Stegosaurus are both herbivores. They're not carnivores.
But Triceratops have the horns.
If you could tell, I was.
I wish I could have seen Triceratops in action. That's the only thing I have,
bro. But that scene where she's sick,
it's great, man. Bro. It is great. It's fantastic, and that he's fucking and Sam Neill is like on her belly,
the big pile of shit.
Yeah, that's one big pile of shit.
Do you know what it is?
I wish I would have seen the Triceratops in action. Like, I was why can't we see a fucking I didn't see part 3 and 4. So
no, I didn't. There weren't any.
There's no Triceratops.
Fuck
no. But they're both really good. Three is good. 4 is excellent.
Yeah.
And four, if you want to talk about
world,
oh, okay, I saw that one.
You want to talk about quotable and meme worthy?
Four's excellent.
Es un paquete de paquete, bro.
Bro, but we just talked about like two or three times that these kids should have died.
Wait.
Two or three times.
Hold on.
Beginning every scene is another bullshit in that movie, bro. All
right.
Yeah.
That's
what he's talking about.
So you're talking about Jurassic World.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Oh, okay, no, because you said four, but I thought you liked Jurassic World.
Oh, I do like it, but I think it's a good movie, but
I don't think either of the sequels live up to the first one, but I think the one that comes closest is 2, if you ignore the last act of the movie. But
when the T-Rex is in the city.
Right, but since you can't do that, 4 is the closest.
I like that part.
I'm okay with that part. Nah. I'm not okay. I haven't even seen part 2 in its entirety.
That scene in 2 with the raptors in the high grass?
That is my favorite raptor scene.
Yeah.
That and also another Spielberg movie, so I don't mind talking about that.
But Chris Pratt doing the fucking the raptor whisperer, I'm like, fuck.
But you were okay with Crocodile Dundee doing it?
No, I was not.
No, I know.
I was not. Good. First of all, second of all, Crocodile Dundee at least did the whole fucking hen thing with the eyes. That's how he fucking gets you. All right.
How crazy is it that I've seen,
and that was only one alligator. That wasn't three at the same time.
That is true.
God damn! How much this guy has superpowers, man?
No.
And then at the end, he just gives the fucking the beta.
Alpha, yeah,
the beta. He gives beta the fucking nod to go like, hey, nah, they're with me. And the fucking beta goes, oh, okay. Excuse me, bitch. Even if we're gonna suspend our disbelief to say that this beta is not gonna eat Chris Pratt because Chris Pratt trained it. That courtesy does not extend to family and friends. This ain't a family and friend discount, bitch. Like, nah, I know you. I don't know them.
I don't know these people.
Yeah. Bro, but then you don't get that good scene.
I know that guy. He's lunch.
Yeah, let's go outside. How about that?
Cash me outside.
Bro, I'm sorry, you just threw me off when you took your hat off, David. You look like Galecki from Big Bang Theory right now. Like super.
I've been told many times.
No, but like with that length of hair, exactly. And it's the curlness. But anyway, we digress. But talk about meme worthy and quote worthy Nedry in this movie.
Oh god.
You didn't say the magic word. I fucking use that shit. Whenever.
Yeah.
All the time.
This talking about that meme.
See? Just, nobody cares.
Yeah, nobody cares. That one. Yeah.
That's my favorite meme that is, again, this is a very niche one. It's they have that meme with open micers, open mic comics.
Okay.
Because he goes, oh, look, he killed last night on open mic. And he goes, you see? Nobody cares. That is the fucking, so again, if you are a comic, you know a million open micers, and maybe you were one at one point, that after a Wednesday night in front of 50 of your friends and family claimed on social media the next day, oh, I killed. Really? Nobody cares.
Right.
It's an open mic. Nobody fucking cares. You did 5 minutes. Shut the fuck up. But that meme, I saw that meme last year, and I was like, oh, save. Next time I see that shit on my feed, nobody cares.
Yep.
I think the most remarkable thing about this movie is that I've seen in either scientific journals, because I used to subscribe to Scientific American, or other, like,
which is no longer around. It stopped publicating 2 weeks ago.
Did it? That's so sad.
When the administration came in,
right?
They're like, all right, we're out, we're fucked.
But you've seen like in science books, like what a dinosaur looks like. And even though this is what a scientist is telling you, hey, this is what a velociraptor or a T-Rex looks like, if it doesn't look exactly like what was in Jurassic Park, I say, nah, Eso es mentira. That's not what it looks like, yeah, because it looks like what fucking Steven Spielberg tells me it looks like.
No, but you know what's funny? From the time they made Jurassic Park to the time they made Jurassic World, apparently the studies have come out since in the time span. Mm-hmm. A lot more studies have come out that now pretty much scientific. It is accepted in the scientific community that dinosaurs had hair.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and feathers.
Feathers? Raptors had feathers.
Raptors had feathers, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did I say hair? Yeah, I said
yeah,
hair.
Yeah, feathers.
Feathers. And when they were making Jurassic World, they knew about it, obviously, but they said, look, we can't go back on world we've already established. Yeah. Even though you guys are right, or, you know, the scientists are right, we've already established this world. We can't go back and mm-hmm. be like, oh, we found a mosquito that had, this one has feathers, though. You can't go right. back in that. But yeah. I thought it was funny how they at least contemplated it. They were like, yeah, we thought about it, but no.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
It was just...
But isn't it weird how I can't envision... Like, if you put feathers on any fucking dinosaur, you're like, ah, it's not even scary anymore.
Bro, can you imagine a T-Rex with feathers clucking?
It looks ridiculous. It doesn't look scary anymore. It looks hilarious. It's like the equivalent of putting clown makeup on Jason Voorhees. You're like, that's adorable. Fuck out of here. Like, would you guys get in a pillow fight? That's adorable. Did you get, what is it, 1812? You got tarred and feathered? What's going on here?
bro, it's just such a good movie.
What a beautiful movie. I think that movie is beautiful. Like, there are certain movies that I think the word beautiful is one of the very first adjectives that comes up when I think of Jurassic Park. I'm like,
that word comes up all the time with Spielberg, because Spielberg has a way of capturing beauty. He knows how to shoot it.
Yes, but E.T. is sad, and that's the first word that comes up for me.
But okay,
even if you said beautifully sad,
not for me. I would say it's more beautiful because
of the scenes that are transfixing your mind of E.T. Well, like, I think,
but when he was white, come on, man.
I mean, yes, that was pretty bad.
I don't want to talk about it.
Well, but the freaking,
why are we going back to E.T.?
You want to talk about something that's copied all the time? The freaking bikes flying in the air. It's like, I mean, that was like my childhood for a long time. And I mean, Jurassic Park 2 was also my childhood.
It became the emblem.
Yeah.
Symbol.
Yep. Emblem entertainment.
How many of us have built fucking ramps?
Oh, bro.
With the specific hope that this time I'm going to float.
How many times have I dropped 2 inches?
Hold on. Hold on. You guys thought you would float?
What?
Come on. I mean, I don't know. You tried it at least once.
Oh, no. I tried it because I was aerodynamic enough to be able to possibly float.
I was buoyant.
I don't know.
I could get up to speed.
First of all, I was fast as fuck on a bike. Yeah. You could put me on a bike. I was fast as fuck. It wasn't my bike. That's probably why I was going really fast.
Well, and you have to if you need to outrun the fucking ice, you know? So.
Camigra! Probably one of the funniest parts of that movie with Jim Carrey. The one where they're going through the financial crisis. Jim Carrey and Téa Leoni are a married couple.
Oh,
one of the funniest parts. He gets caught. He's doing. He needs to work, and he goes to Home Depot to get like migrant worker
Dick
work.
And Jane.
And Fun with Dick and Jane. Immigration catches him, and he lost his wallet, so he doesn't have proof. So they send him over the fucking border. And then they show him sneaky back into California, and it's at night, and he looks up, and then you see the fucking immigration officers coming, and he's like, La Migra! Jim Carrey's yelling La Migra.
Fucking great.
That movie's not even that funny, but damn it, that part isn't hilarious. Alright, anyways. What were we going to say?
So Jurassic Park.
My number two is Jurassic Park.
So honorable mention. So we apologize. We forgot to put a...
No. Wait. I got one from a guy. His name is Quint. Quint put a swordfish.
Is he from Amity, Maine?
Weird enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
He put swordfish, grouper. No.
Piranha.
He thought fish.
All right. So honorable mentions for us. Yeah. I have Close Encounters. I have Jurassic Park. I have Hook. And I have 1941.
Oh, nice. A comedy thrown in. Nice.
1941.
I've never seen 1941.
It's fucking hysterical with Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi, rest in peace, that the Japanese have bombed Pearl Harbor a week prior, and everybody thinks California's next. So they prepare for this Japanese invasion that's not happening. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's a comedy. And
yeah, it's great.
Or is it?
Oh. No, but yeah, it's a fucking great movie.
I've never seen it. I wanted to see it just because I love the cover for that.
Oh yeah, the cover's great.
I didn't even know it was a comedy. I thought it was a drama.
Oh no.
Of the cover.
No, it's hysterical. And I think, isn't the guy that was an Animal House, I'm trying to remember because it's been a while since I've seen it, the gopher.
Kevin Bacon?
No, gopher from Animal House. I think he's in it.
I think so,
I think
too.
He's like, he's getting shipped off or something like that. Yeah. He's got a love interest role. He's a love interest role for in that movie, I think. Because it's been a while since I've seen
it. It's
that
been
movie.
A long time.
But it's such a great movie.
And in fact, I've only seen it one time. I saw it with my grandfather years ago.
But yeah, I think 1941. Very funny. I didn't know if anybody would have it, but I thought that's worth mentioning at least.
It's awesome.
What do you got for
my honorable mentions? I'm going to go Saving Private Ryan. Catch Me If You Can. It's really good.
Yeah,
really
Catch
fucking
Me If You Can.
It's
a great movie.
I'm going to say two TV things really quick. One, the movie Duel. Was a TV movie. Duel is a movie.
But it was later released theatrically.
It was later released theatrically.
Really underrated
it's
film.
Super, super underrated. It was his first major film production that Steven Spielberg headed. Really, really cool story. It's literally just one actor in an embattlement with literally a machine. And it's a monster movie where the
monster has been upgraded to an 18-wheeler.
Yeah.
It is fucking awesome.
Awesome, awesome movie. And the last thing I want to say is, because I love Steven Spielberg, and this is one of the reasons I love him, there used to be a TV series called Amazing Stories that he actually helped create. There's an episode that he helped direct with, and his sister wrote it. It's called What If? If you guys ever want to see like really cool short story done really quick, Amazing Stories, What If? It's a really beautiful story about reincarnation, and that's all I got.
All right.
Very cool.
I have E.T., Jurassic Park, Schindler's List. The only reason why Schindler's List didn't make my list is in the same way where you say that E.T. is too sad for you. Schindler's List is much too sad for me. I think I've seen the movie twice in my life.
Ironically, I've seen that movie many times. I've seen E.T. once and a half. I've seen Schindler's List, without exaggerating, probably 13 times.
Wow.
Because
that movie came out when I was in high school, and then every fucking teacher, subject was like, it was a great movie. It is a great movie, so I didn't hate it, but I was like, yeah, I'll watch this movie again.
It is so difficult to watch this movie. And I think that this movie, along with another one that we're going to talk about, is the best example of Spielberg's directing ability, because that movie is entirely his art. Yeah. It is beautiful. It's sad, of course, but it's beautiful.
Anytime you're able to make me sit through a black and white film, you have something on your
hands. Ralph Fiennes is dastardly in that movie, and Liam Neeson is incredible.
Jeff, look up what dastardly means.
That's why, because I can't sit down and rewatch Schindler's List. That's why it didn't make the mountain and Duel. I also put Duel.
Oh,
I fucking
nice.
Love Duel.
Me too, bro.
Shout out to my buddy Rob, who bought it for me maybe 2 years ago, because I said I hadn't seen the movie and he knew I was a big Spielberg fan, and he gave it to me for Christmas, and I fucking love it. Thank you, Rob.
People who shit on TMC, let me tell you, the way I discovered Duel was through TMC.
Right, so I love TMC. I have the app on my iPad, and I watch old movies all the time.
Who's TMC?
Turner Movie Classics.
Turner Classic Movies.
I really didn't know what I was talking about.
Well, because he said TMC.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's TCM. Sorry. Yeah.
No, that's right.
And I kept it going.
No, but on the ships, that's why I was confused. I was like, oh, no, I don't know something. Well, please, film me. No, but I watch TCM a lot on the cruise ships. They have them, and I'm like, yeah, that's fucking...
Almost everything they play is good.
And it's so funny, because I'm watching TCM from... like Venezuela or some country like that, where the movies are still in English but the commercials are in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll watch like The Goonies, and then the next movie up is Schindler's List, and then the next movie up is Rambo: First Blood, and then the next movie up is
it's all good like, fucking shit.
Yeah, but they're all but like they're all over the place. Like none of them have anything to do with one another.
That's fine.
No, and I'm totally okay with that. I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm like, what movie is coming up next? And then it's like, fuck, what was that? Singing in the Rain. Oh, okay, I'll fucking watch this. And like, what movies? And like, I've spent nights like that where I'm like the whole entire day is where I'm like. Well, yes, I will watch the Pirates movie with Geno Davis, whatever that movie was.
Oh, my God. Oh, yes. Treasure Island.
I don't think it was Treasure.
Wait, no, which one is it?
Not Treasure Island.
With Geno Davis.
Cutthroat Island.
Cutthroat Island. It is Cutthroat Island.
I will watch Cutthroat Island, as a matter of fact, now that you mention it.
With Matthew Modine.
Yeah, and I will stay here watching... Who like that? And I will stay here watching. the Muppets in the Pirate movie.
Oh my God, Cabin Fever.
Yeah, no, the Muppets.
Oh, that was Muppet Treasure Island.
Muppet Treasure Island. Yeah, back to back.
Tim Curry.
Yeah. You know, I like Cutthroat Island.
I haven't seen
it. I haven't seen it in forever. I remember it came on.
I haven't seen it since I was a kid. So you know,
I remember watching it. I remember it came out on TCM, and I was just flipping back and forth. I didn't stay on it. My honorable mentions are Minority Report, A Bridge of Spies, which came out last year, which was fucking
phenomenal. I really wanted to watch this movie.
I
wanted to watch this for the Tom Hanks Mountain.
Yes.
And I didn't have enough time to watch it.
It's fantastic.
It's definitely worth a watch.
Fantastic.
Because it's super critically acclaimed. It's like 90-something percent fresh.
Let's see. Bridge of Spies is... Let's see here. What does it say? That's weird. All right, and then Munich, which Munich would probably have made my mountain if it was more. Oh, Catch Me If You Can. Oh,
Catch Me If You Can is so good.
I fucking love Catch Me If You Can, man. Leonardo DiCaprio,
he's great.
Fucking Tom Hanks. Oh, fuck yeah, man. It's great. All right, so those are mine.
Really quick before we continue, Temple of Doom needs to get a nice shout out here, really quick, because Steven Spielberg tried to do something in the beginning of Temple Doom to show that he was a complete director, and that was he did a whole entire musical segment in the beginning of Temple of Doom.
Okay.
And you know, Kate Capshaw had to learn how to sing in Mandarin.
Yeah.
Yep.
For that scene. And the whole reason why that scene exists is because...
Is this the movie with Round Eye?
Short round.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Wow. What'd you say, round eye?
I thought it was...
Oh, my God.
You named the Asian round eye.
First the Jews, now the Asians.
Well, it would be ironic if his name was round eye because he doesn't have round
eyes. You mean racist?
Ironic.
Sure.
No, if you called him slant eyes, that's racist. Round eyes, ironic.
Okay.
Ironically racist.
I'll take that.
Indy comes in with that beautiful tuxedo, right? Yeah. With the white dinner jacket. It's supposed to be reminiscent
beautiful.
Of Sean Connery. No, it is beautiful.
Yeah.
It is beautiful. It is supposed to be reminiscent of Sean Connery and Goldfinger, because the whole reason why Indiana Jones exists is because Spielberg...
We're at an hour and 45. We'll still have to do
fantastic. I'll make this real fast. Yeah. Fingers crossed here.
Yeah, because you still got to talk about Raiders of the Lost Ark.
So yeah,
talk about number one.
Yeah. It's gonna be a little while, people.
Okay,
pull up a chair. When George Lucas was vacationing I gotta work too.
All right, go ahead, continue, man.
You got me on a roll. George Lucas is vacationing in Hawaii, right? Waiting for the reports to come in from Star Wars, and he's there with Spielberg because they're friends, right? And Spielberg is telling him, "I've always wanted to do a James Bond movie."
Yeah.
And he says, "Well, I've got something better." And he was wrong. And it's this, and he was right. Except he was wrong about the title, because he called it Indiana Smith. And Spielberg says, "I fucking hate that title." And he says, "Well, how about Indiana Jones?" And he says, "Okay."
There you go. Now we know why
it's Indiana Jones is better than...
I will take Raiders of the Lost Ark over any James Bond movie.
You think the Indiana Jones character is better than the...
Guys,
than the,
still gotta get to number one.
Than the... James Bond character?
That's not what I said. I said the Raiders of the Lost Ark is better...
Because I want James Bond... movie, meaning the character. You want a character, and he goes, "I got a character that's better." That's what the story was. It wasn't about which movie. It was about the character. I have a character that's
better. He wanted to. Well, I guess that is what he would mean.
Yeah.
Me personally,
There's no TV character on Earth cooler than fucking James Bond. He fucks women that are trying to kill him.
You're right. Indiana Jones is not cooler than James Bond. I like Indiana Jones more than James Bond.
Technically, Indiana Jones does fuck women that want to kill him.
Of course. No, he does. He is James Bond, except in the 40s instead of the 60s.
Kalima. Anyway.
Calling me banana.
Or technically 30s. It would be 30s.
All right, number ones. Jeffrey.
My number one, I'm wearing the shirt from it. It's my favorite horror movie / thriller of all time, and it's Jaws.
I had a little drink about an hour ago,
and it went straight to my head. Anyway,
wherever I may roam, boom, boom, by land or sea or foam, I'll always hear me singing a song. Show me. Okay, we're done.
Okay.
Sorry.
Please don't sue us for
this
copyright.
This is your number one,
please.
Too, right?
To drinking with bow-legged women. This is my number two.
Okay.
Your number one?
My number one as well.
Fucking great.
Introduced John Williams to the world.
Yeah. Talk about a movie that single-handedly struck fear in beachgoers worldwide.
Oh, yeah.
When you only saw the shark, I think it was 15 minutes in the entire movie, 12 minutes in the entire movie.
And at that, you never saw the whole shark.
Yeah. And you never saw the whole shark. This movie, Christy hates me because I seem to... We always say the joke like from the movie PCU, which not a lot of people seen, but that the guy's doing his thesis on being able to... I forgot what the... Is that Gene Hackman and somebody else that he can always find one of their movies on. Yeah. I can always find a Jaws movie on TV somehow. Christy hates it.
If it's not Jaws 3D, I don't want it.
You're welcome.
Well, the only
you're Jaws, welcome, Neary.
The only Jaws movie I ever care to see is one.
Oh no, Jaws, I love Jaws. Jaws 3. I'll fuck with Jaws 3D. I saw it with this guy again.
Yeah,
I'll watch all of them. I don't care.
I will watch all of them. But the only one that I will ever say, "Hey, I want to watch Jaws. I'm going to put this on," is Jaws 1.
Well. And the thing with Jaws is there were so many issues with the shark because they didn't really prep for the like dealing with the salt water, and they had three Bruces and they kept breaking down. The orca sank, while they were filming. Like, and it's just the terror that Spielberg was able to convey without you seeing the shark until I forgot the exact time frame, but it's like almost halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
The first time when he gets
it's almost 30 minutes
in. It's like 30 minutes in when you see is a dorsal fin.
Right.
There's that picture that it's around the internet of what originally it was going to look like of the shark out of the water biting down on him, which I'm glad they didn't do. I'm glad that
scarier this way. It built up to finally seeing, you know, half of the fucking fish at the end of the movie.
Yeah. Right. And the soundtrack that John Williams put to it just conveyed
incredible.
And it's like I can watch this movie on repeat.
Yeah,
I can.
Like, I have.
Yeah, and like Robert Shaw as Quint is fucking glorious.
I've seen it once.
I'm a huge Robert Shaw fan.
Yeah, but you're not
huge
really a
huge Robert Shaw fan.
I don't see this movie as a horror movie. I've seen the movie once. I've seen it in bits and pieces a billion times. I just haven't seen. It's like sat through it. I think maybe I've seen it once. Sat through from beginning to end.
Fuck, man.
I've seen bits and pieces, so like I know what the whole.
Robert Shaw and Richard Dreyfuss hated each other.
Yeah.
Oh,
they did not like each other. So, like a lot of their interaction on the orca at the end, they really did not like each other. So they were actually
throwing the knot at him.
Yeah. So like, I'll show you. Like all that, they just didn't like. They really didn't like each other. So and Roy Scheider was awesome. Chief Brody. Awesome.
I think you're gonna need a bigger boat.
which was ad libbed.
Yeah,
that wasn't in the original script.
Smile, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. Good. Even though they prove on MythBusters, they did a Jaws episode of MythBusters, and they proved that wasn't possible.
Bro, it's just such a good movie. It's just man, you know, not many people know this. Roy Schneider started out as like a singing dance guy. He was never like was a big he? Action guy. Yeah.
Sorry.
In fact, he wins an Oscar later on for a big singing dance number they did later. Hmm. But this movie's so freaking good. It opened up the world to blockbuster summer films.
This was the first summer blockbuster.
It made Great White Sharks Endangered for one point because people were just so in fear and like the fear of sharks hunting them.
Yeah.
It's just so
thanks,
good.
Thanks, Spielberg.
And some of the practical effects that they did or something to get certain scenes, it was torturous for the actors.
Yeah.
Actors and actresses. Like the opening scene, which can we talk about how amazing that opening scene
is? It's iconic.
She in order to get that, they tied ropes to her under the water and Steven Spielberg, one of the people, they started yanking her. So she got hurt.
Yeah.
Because they were literally just pulling her back and forth.
Those
with rope.
Screams are screams of real pain.
Well, and there was a scream underwater that I was reading about it, that they literally grabbed the actress, hung her upside down, and poured water down her throat while she screamed.
That's called waterboarding.
Yeah. They waterboarded her to get the sounds of screams. It's crazy. Underwater.
You know what's the weird thing? Maybe this makes me a wuss or anything. Anytime I see the opening scene, I have to put it on mute. I can't deal with her screaming.
Really?
Because it's so like, it's gut wrenching. Yeah. And it's tough.
The movies. It sets the
every
tone.
Time it kind of turns me on.
It sets the tone for it sets the tone for the film perfectly.
Yeah,
definitely. Perfectly. And the mayor is such a fucking dirtbag.
You mean the real villain in that movie?
Yeah.
But you call me the mayor of Jaws.
That was the best. That was the best line funny. For me in that movie. I'm sorry.
I don't get why that's funny. You guys laugh every time, and I'm like, okay. I feel like I'm like
because he's a
like,
shit mayor.
He's a horrible person.
The mayor from Jaws is a horrible shit mayor.
Yeah.
A kid gets eaten on his beach, and he opens it up the next day.
Yeah, that man don't give a fuck.
They fly the fucking flags half mast. What else do you want?
What?
You know what line I love, and every time I hear it, it fucking makes me laugh. When the old guy comes up to Roy Scheider after the little boy's been eaten, right? And he starts talking, and he goes, Harry, that's some bad hat. I don't know why.
Well, apparently,
always fucking resonates
with
me.
That's the name of a hat company, and no. That's their slogan.
No, that's the name of a production company. That's Bryan Singer's production company. That he did shows as in House, and he did shows. I forgot
the X Men movies.
Those shows. You know how at the end of the shows they show you the production company, and it's like, oh, Bad Robot, whatever the hell, you know, J.J. Abrams. That's there's a animated scene of two guys at the beach, and one of them goes, "That's a bad hat, Harry." And it's Bad Hat Productions. It's
you know, I never put two and two together.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, the Bad Hat Harry Production Company. Yeah,
I never put two and two together.
I know everything about this movie except I haven't watched
except
the
fucking movie.
So good, bro.
And then the interactions that they have on the boat and like the scene where Robert Shaw's talking about the Indianapolis and like all of them getting.
Oh, he tried to do that scene drunk too.
Yeah.
The first time he came in, he went in to read it, like to film it, drunk off his ass, and he couldn't. They had to like, we can't do it. And he was like, fuck, I can't.
So he had to go back
the next day.
He was an alcoholic. He struggled with alcohol.
I think he was trying to be like
He
was trying to be
method.
M-E-T-H-O-D actor. And he tried to be a method actor, and he came in drunk because the scene called for him to be drunk and or the you know, the part.
Right.
But he couldn't do it. And so the next day he had to film it sober.
You know,
that you're right, though. That is.
But isn't that impressive?
500 men go in. What's the number?
It's 900 men go in, 300 men come out, sharks take the rest.
That's right.
But isn't it impressive that scene where he seems believably drunk?
Yeah.
Is he stone cold sober?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when he was drunk, he couldn't do it.
But yeah, I could go on and on about
that. You know how good that scene is? That 2 years ago, they made a fucking Nicolas Cage movie about the SS Indianapolis.
Yeah. But yeah, there's
about that movie.
You don't need to.
And there's a couple of documentaries that came out. Jaws: The Inside Story came out in 2010. That's awesome. That they interview a bunch of the guys and they talk about all the stuff that goes on. There's this independent one that they're doing that these people actually go apparently yearly. There's an excursion where everybody goes to Martha's Vineyard and they do a Jaws tour because like one of the original Orca boats, the hull is still on one of the beaches.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like it's just there. and they just left it there. Like, and then they have like a bunch of the shops and stuff like that that are still from.
I saw, it had to have been like a TV special or something like that about it. The guy who has the most Jaws memorabilia, he's just been collecting it little by little over time. And he's got...
Oh, that's right. He's also a virgin.
But he opens it up like a museum, and it's not terribly big. It's probably... Yeah.
His living room.
I may... You know what? I may have actually seen that guy, because at the horror convention that I go to up in Orlando, mm-hmm. they had a traveling Jaws exhibit that went there that year. Oh, they had one of the Bruce Sharks. Probably that guy. They had like a Bruce Sharks.
If it wasn't that guy.
Yeah.
If there was two guys.
Yeah.
But they had like sad as fuck.
They had like Brody's rifle from the end. But I mean, I could go on and on. Like it was great that they changed it from the novel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because in the novel, Hooper dies. Yeah. In the shark cage.
There's a lot of things.
They changed a bunch of stuff.
If Hooper died, he wouldn't have had that kid to come back in part three.
No. Well, Hooper.
Oh, who's Hooper?
Richard Dreyfuss.
Who's Richard Dreyfuss?
Okay, Hooper.
Hooper.
Hooper drives the boat.
And he also had the kid in part four. The Revenge, which I don't think you've seen yet. That's the next one with Mario Van Peebles.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's
and Michael Caine.
The time you can see Mario Van Peebles.
Yeah.
There are movies I can count on my hand. I only get
seen in his house.
That are stop and watch, no matter what channel. And, I mean, AMC and TNT dominated my life for a good amount of time, because all they'll play is, like, Die Hard and Jaws and Shawshank Redemption. And those are all...
Replacements.
You know what?
No, you're not.
I like
the replacements. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's TBS, actually.
TBS is interchangeable.
But, like, it's up there, like, as one of those, like, rewatchable movies. And it probably has the saddest death scene maybe in all movies with Quint. That was just traumatic. All
right, so what's your number one role?
That was my number one.
That is your number one?
Yeah.
Jaws? Yep. And yours as well, Jeff?
Yes. Yep.
All right. Good.
We're not started singing anything. And everything.
All right. Jaws and Jaws. What's your number one?
Here's to swimming with bow-legged women.
My number one is Raiders of the Lost Ark. And Jeff, now we can talk about this.
That's my number four.
Yeah.
Hey. The two scenes I was going to tell you, the iconic ones for me, are obviously the ball beginning.
That is my favorite opening scene of any movie.
Yeah. The previous film also with Jaws, like I just, but that opening scene, and then him in the marketplace with the pistol.
Oh yeah,
those are my two. Like, I absolutely love those scenes. Raiders introduced the world to Indiana Jones, and in the film Indiana Jones, and it was such a cool character. He made archaeology and history fun for me, and that's I will say that that's one of the reasons why I did study
for
history.
A lot of people.
I studied history. I was going to become a history professor,
mm-hmm.
because, and that's one of those factors, is watching that movie as a kid.
Yeah.
I fucking love that movie.
Yeah. TCM programming in Latin America today. They have
Jaws,
La Massacre de Texas. So that's Texas Chainsaw Massacre, for those non-English speaking. Then they play the Pink Panther, Xena, Warrior Princess, Alf, Season 2. And then they play Silverado, and then they play Casper. Then they play Pump Up the Volume.
Not to be this guy.
Who the fuck doesn't want to sit through that? I want to sit through the entire day and watch all that shit.
TCM doesn't only do movies, they do shows?
In Latin America, they do.
Yeah. Did not know that. Mm-hmm. Always thought it was just movies.
All right, so you were saying?
Go ahead. No, go ahead. This is your number one.
This is my favorite movie of all time. And I've said many times on the podcast, if you're a regular listener, you know exactly how I feel about this movie. Indiana Jones is my favorite film character.
Pump Up the Volume, and then
Steven,
they play Officer and a Gentleman.
Steven Spielberg's direction in this movie is absolutely amazing. The way that he directs the actors, and I always go back to the scene in the bar
with Indian Marion, mm-hmm. that subtle change in the way that she addresses him.
Yeah.
And then that really abrupt change with him, where he's all sweet, and when he finally realizes, oh, okay, this conversation isn't going the way that I think it's going, how he just like lays it on the line where he was like, you knew what you were doing, you know? That's him. That's Spielberg, you know? And I've seen so many different documentaries on the making of the Indiana Jones franchise as a whole, but specifically Raiders. He had a hand in absolutely everything in this movie. The story, of course, is George Lucas. But,
yes.
I mean, he... Everything was him, you know? Even so much... And I talked a little bit about how he wanted to make a James Bond film. They even went to England to shoot this. They didn't want to shoot this in Hollywood. They wanted this to feel like a James Bond movie. And so when they went to Pinewood Studios, which is where every single James Bond film has ever been made, they found out that it would be completely cost prohibitive. So they shot at Elstree Studios, which is where George Lucas had done Star Wars.
Okay. Yeah.
It's this little sci-fi movie.
Independent
film? About a farm boy. Yeah.
It takes place in a distant place with some time has passed.
Okay.
Everything about this film, I think, is perfect. The script by Lawrence Kasdan is absolutely incredible. I think that Raiders came out at this perfect time where you have these incredible directors from the 1970s are finally mastering their work. You know, you think of Spielberg, Coppola. Lucas, Coppola, and Scorsese. These guys in the late 70s, early 80s are when they're finally starting to put out what I think is their best work.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that Raiders represents that, where these guys had really finally hit their stride. And it wasn't just Spielberg, but the actors that they had been working with for a couple years now. And John Williams. I don't know which John Williams score I would pick as my favorite, but it would probably come down to Empire Strikes Back and Raiders of the Lost Ark. Mm-hmm. And just everything about this movie is fucking magical. From the opening scene,
Jurassic Park, I would have to say.
I wouldn't put Jurassic Park up there with Empire Strikes Back or Raiders.
I wouldn't put it with Empire Strikes Back, but I wouldn't put it over Empire. I'd put it with Empire, but not over. But I definitely
would. I would put it with Empire.
I would probably put E.T. over Jurassic Park as well.
Oh, no.
If we were doing John Williams, and this is a great mountain to do at some point, so maybe we should stop.
I love the movie.
He has like five.
John Williams?
I think both of them.
Motherfucker. Do you know who you're talking about?
All right. So,
perfect action, perfect blend of action, romance, drama. Yep. The character is comedy is so much mystery to the character. I mentioned that there was two things about Last Crusade that bothered me a little bit. One was Marcus Brody, and they're both kind of like double-edged swords, because it bothers me, but at the same time it makes Last Crusade a great movie. The mystery of Indiana Jones, even in Temple of Doom, you don't really find out very much about him.
Yeah, he's an awful archaeologist.
He is. He's a terrible fucking archaeologist. He breaks everything.
Him and the doctor from Suicide Squad. Holy fuck.
Oh, look at this ancient artifact. Let me break it.
Let me pop the head out. What the fuck, lady? Jesus. Can you drop it? Just drop it. Everybody will understand. She's like, hold on. It's on there really fucking tight. Hold on. Pop. I'm like, oh, well, then you deserve it.
Hey, Bob, can you come over here and try to twist this off? I can't get the pickle jar open.
Of horrible archaeologists.
The mystery of Indy is taken away in Last Crusade. And so I think that even though it serves the purpose of you coming to understand the character better, and you get that awesome father-son
and you like him better.
Dynamic, you do like him better. You do like him better, but the mystery of the character is now taken away.
I don't know.
I don't need mystery in my characters.
I love mystery in my characters.
I don't need it because we've already had two movies with him where he's mysterious. Now I want to get to know him more as a person.
No, and I got you, which is why I say, you know, I don't know that I would really call those things negatives, because what they add is so much more than what's taken away.
Right.
But yeah, and Paul Freeman as Belloc, mm-hmm. fucking awesome. Yeah. What a really fucking like two-faced villain he is. You know, that scene where Marion comes out.
He's so two-faced. I might say he has no face now.
Nice. That scene where Marion comes out of the sub when they've docked at the island,
yeah.
And previously when he had taken Marion, he says, you know, I will take her as my prize. I don't think the Fuhrer will have any problem with that. And if she displeases me, then you can do with her as you wish. She gets out of the sub and he gives her this nasty fucking look. Like, you can tell that whatever he tried to do to her, she did not fucking have any of it, because Marion is like fucking Princess Leia, man. She's a fucking independent woman and she don't need no man.
All the women independent.
And the final scene, yep. With the fucking arc, with the exploding heads, oh. And the melting heads, and the, yep. Shrinking heads,
and the fight in the airplane, in front of the airplane with the big Nazi.
You know that he fights that guy in every movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
That actor, yeah. So he's the German mechanic in Raiders of the Lost Ark. He's the giant thuggy in Temple of Doom, and in Last Crusade he fights him. That's the guy who he gets that giant coat and hat from to get onto the Zeppelin.
Oh, okay.
The fight was cut from the movie.
Okay.
So that is the only movie that you don't see him fight Pat Roach.
Okay.
Let's talk really quick about how one of the most iconic scenes in that movie is just because he had really bad bowel diarrhea. And that's him shooting the guy,
yes.
with swords.
Yeah. They all did. You know, the only person who didn't...
He was supposed to have an actual fight with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the actor.
If you go to YouTube...
Said it's fucking hot, man.
Yeah.
He said, I'm shitting my brains out.
It's fucking hot.
They all... Every single person on the crew, on the casting crew, got sick. And John Rhys Davies talks about this in one of the making of documentaries that they did, where they all ate the local food, but Spielberg didn't, because he, for whatever reason, didn't want to. So he ate like canned beans for the entire time that he was out there. He's the only one who didn't get sick. Yeah. And that's why Harrison Ford just, you know, took out impromptu, just bang, yeah. You know. But if you
and
go,
that's why he paused. The guy with the sword, it was like, what the fuck? Okay. I guess I'll fall back.
Improv class, don't fail me now.
Yeah.
Like, but I,
like, yes, and yes,
such an iconic scene.
Yeah, it's a good movie, man. I'm not the biggest. I think that's my least favorite of the three. But that's not saying anything negative about it, because
right, it's like how I say Return of the Jedi is my least favorite. It's still a fantastic movie.
You're wrong. But
and so are you.
anyway, so all right, that's a great pick. And we all saw it coming.
No, that's what she said.
Yeah.
Both you and Jeff are the most predictable for your number one pick.
Yeah, I knew yours was going to be Jaws.
I mean, I'm not going to.
You didn't think the fishing guy was going to have Jaws in the number one?
I didn't think about it. But I just, because they are so permanent in their love. They're so vocal. Let me rephrase that.
Yeah,
they're so vocal with their love for these movies that I'm like, oh, okay. My number one is the number one movie with the most explosions. And it is Saving Private Ryan. You get two explosions within fucking 2 minutes of this movie starting, and that's my.
You get 742 explosions.
Well, I'm talking about the first two movies. The first two.
Oh yeah, that's my. So this is my number two.
Yeah, Saving Private Ryan is a fantastic movie. There's nothing that I. You want to go back and listen to what I said about. You could copy and paste what I said on the Tom Hanks mountain about this movie.
Right.
I fucking love this movie. Love the movie so much that I didn't mind Vin Diesel being in this movie, because you don't really get to know Vin Diesel, so I'm fine. Mm-hmm. But
Caparzo, that, you know, they wrote that role for him.
Did they?
Yeah.
For Vin Diesel?
Because he did a movie called Strays, And Spielberg loved him in that movie so much that he wrote the role of Caparzo into the movie for him.
He's so nice, Steven Spielberg. Writing a movie, writing a part in that kind of movie for fucking Vin Diesel. Get the fuck out of here.
Guy with a speech impediment?
Yeah, guy.
Hey, give this letter to my dad.
Spoiler alert.
But I love this movie, man. I love everything about this movie. The pain that
Giovanni Ribisi?
No, I was going to say the pain that Matt Damon's character. You could see Matt Damon's.
Yeah.
One of Matt Damon's best performances. Coming from somebody who's one of my favorite movies of all time is Good Will Hunting, but this movie,
and he wasn't even in the movie for that long.
He doesn't show up until the last like half hour of the film,
and you can see the pain in his eyes. You can see the pain in the actor who plays the old man in at the cemetery. That you could fucking feel that pain, man. Where you could see
that sets up the movie so perfectly.
It's such a great segue because the whole time. I don't know why, because it should have. I mean, if you're watching a movie and you see an old man standing at a grave in a war movie, if it's titled Saving Private Ryan, you should probably think that's going to be Private Ryan that survived, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's titled Saving Private Ryan, for God's sake.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought it was Tom Hanks, and I was like, oh, this must be Tom Hanks' character. And I was the fucking idiot that didn't think twice about it. I was a kid. But I love this fucking movie, man. There's something about this movie, the realism, the fact that it's an action movie that's not an action movie. The fact that
it's a drama.
It takes you into the emotional roller coaster of these men who some are boys and put in this situation, you know.
It doesn't glorify war.
No.
And that's it might have been the first time I saw a war movie where I didn't feel like war was glorified. Yeah. Where the heroes of war didn't seem to be these, you know, dashing debonair guys who were happy to, you know, go in and
you'd really love, man. Just hearing you talk like this, Fury. You would
really I didn't get around to watching Fury.
Really love that movie. Everything that you just said right now
is Fury.
Fury does
that is an
amazing Fury does very well.
I really and again,
I'm not
to watch
saying
it.
I'm not comparing apples to apples. I'm not saying one is better than the other one. I'm just saying specifically what you just talked about it not glorifying war and about showing you the evils of war and even the quote unquote good guys do awful things and all that is personified in Fury so well.
I really want do you have it?
No. I had to think about it. I was like, I don't know.
Because we talked about it during the Tom Hanks Mountain, so I don't want to. I'm not going to expound too much on it. But like, the characters are fucking great. The sniper is one of my favorite characters.
Yeah,
like,
Barry Pepper.
Like the Tom Hanks and the whole gimmick of how he unites his unit by them trying to guess what he did before the war. Like, there's just so much about this movie that.
So
that it's such a phenomenal film, and every time it's on, I watch it.
I've seen this twice since the Tom Hanks Mountain, and I hadn't seen it before the Tom Hanks Mountain, and I found myself crying throughout most of the movie, and like I'm not ashamed to admit that, like it was
talking to somebody who's.
Painful.
Right. Who cried at The Mask with Jim Carrey? So you should have no shame admitting you cried in any movie.
I legit cried for the first 25 minutes of this movie. However long the storming of Normandy beaches,
oh my God.
I cried throughout that entire scene. I'm not talking about like boohoo sobbing, but just like a slow, steady stream of tears. Like it was, like I said, it wasn't war being glorified. Like you saw the horror of war.
Oh man, that guy trying to put his arm back together.
So fucking sad.
The doors on the boats opening up and all the
they actually
guns,
used amputees
they're mowed down like fucking.
They actually
fodder.
Used amputees to do the stuff. Yeah, great pick though.
Another, I mean, just to expound on how great a director Steven Spielberg is in this movie. And we've talked about this before in the Tom Hanks Mountain. He separated Matt Damon from all the boot camp stuff that the original crew went through. And that you could see the animosity between the group, like especially like characters like Tom Sizemore's character with Adam Goldberg's character.
Ed Barrows? No. Burns. Burns. Ed Burns.
Ed Burns.
Ed Burns. Yeah, he's like, you know, what the fuck are we going after this guy for?
I said this, and this is the last thing we'll finish up now.
And Nathan Fillion's it.
But I love the story of them going through through the training. It was supposed to be a 2-week train boot camp, the actors, and they wanted to give up. Like even before the first week, they were just they were done, including Tom Hanks. Like he was just like they were all beat. So they had a meeting. The actors had a meeting. And they go, we want to quit, and they all went to Tom Hanks because Tom Hanks not only played the officer in charge, he as an actor,
he was the most senior actor.
He was the most. Well, not I don't know about senior, but he was. Let's be real. Like they all know the pecking order. I'm Tom Hanks, and then there's everybody else. Realistically speaking, right? Mm-hmm. But they all went to Tom Hanks, and they go, "Oh, we should all, you know, I think we should we quit. We should all we all want to quit." And Tom Hanks goes, "I know how you're feeling. I want to quit too." Here's the thing, though. In this movie, we're being charged with portraying these men that really fought in these conditions in World War II. So I am more than happy to call it quits if everybody here is in agreement that we are ready to portray these men the way they should be portrayed. And nobody...
It's a fucking leader.
Nobody quit. Mm-hmm. And that shit gives me chills. Mm-hmm. When you hear that story, because I didn't hear Tom Hanks tell that story. You hear Tom Sizemore tell that story. You hear Barry Pepper tell that story, and you go, fuck, man. That is a leader, dude. That is somebody you want. And anybody, that's somebody you want by your side.
Yeah.
Whether it's at war, or whether it's a fellow actor, or whether it's a fellow entertainer, or whether it's a fellow human being. Mm-hmm. You want that person who has that perspective in life to step aside and stop being selfish, because he was tired and he was beat up and he didn't want to do it. But he had the presence of mind to say, okay, I physically want to quit. But mentally, logically, and reasonably,
we're not ready.
We're not ready. And are we ready? Not the question, not the question of we're not ready. Not the statement of we're not ready. It's the question of are we ready? Can you say that this is a thing? And the fact that everybody at that point had to look at themselves in the mirror, so to speak, you know, I think it's a fantastic.
Yeah.
I love that story. So, anyways, that's my number one. So, for our mountain.
Yes.
Saving Private Ryan got two.
Three.
Yep. Jaws got three.
Yep.
E.T. has two.
Raiders has two.
Jurassic has two.
Oh.
Raiders has two?
Yep.
Me and David.
All right. So we're going to go Jaws for sure.
Jaws and Saving Private Ryan because they both have three.
Saving Private
Ryan. I want the selfish me wants to say Raiders because then I get a perfect mountain.
Well, and he said Last Crusade. So it's not Raiders, but it is an Indiana Jones movie.
Wait, hold on. But what movies are
so is Crystal Skull on? But we're not talking about that.
Because no one put it on their mountain.
Because they're not stupid.
Well, obviously.
Okay. I was like, I'm trying to follow the logic of like, oh, because it's in the same franchise?
Yeah.
Okay. So the movies that we have left are Raiders has two, Jurassic Park has two, E.T. has two. And that's it. Close Encounter has one, Last Crusade has one, and Hook has one.
I'm gonna say this right now. I'll be damned if we're gonna have a Steven Spielberg mountain and Jurassic Park's not in it. Jurassic Park needs to be on that mountain.
And Indiana
it
Jones.
Wants to be on that mountain.
I'd say those two over E.T. And
I mean E.T.'s fucking iconic, yeah. Though, dude.
If I had to choose. To have E.T. in there, I would take Jurassic Park out.
That's crazy.
Oh,
jeez. You're gonna have a Steven Spielberg mountain without Jurassic Park?
Yeah, I did.
That's crazy.
You know, have we done a Harrison Ford mountain yet?
No, he's got three movies in him. Let's stop with this shit.
Oh my god.
Name me another Harrison Ford movie that doesn't begin with Indiana Jones or Star Wars.
I mean,
The Fugitive,
Blade Runner.
Yuck. Witness.
Fuck you.
Witness is great.
What lies beneath?
Witness is great.
What lies beneath?
Sabrina.
What lies beneath?
What lies beneath?
6 days, 7 nights.
6 days, 7 nights is awesome.
That was awesome.
You heard me.
Okay.
It's late, guys.
Yeah. You know what? Go ahead and drop out E.T. Put Raiders and Jurassic. Just because
I have to put Jurassic, bro.
I
can't not put Jurassic Park. That's absurd to me. It might be his highest grossing movie of all time. That's how popular it is. Out of all the Steven Spielberg movies, that's the one that made the most money.
You can't take out the park. It's the park.
Like, how do you justify putting
any movie of his over Jurassic Park based on just sales. It's clearly the most popular.
I think for inflation, with inflation, E.T.'s the fourth highest grossing film of all time.
Do you guys really need Sam Pryor Ryan on that mountain?
Well, there's three.
There's three people.
Yeah, but, so. You know.
You know. Awesome. You know. Beautiful. You know.
You can't, historically accurate. You know. You can't argue a pick that got two over a pick that got three.
Yeah. All right. So I would say argued. all right, so it's between Raiders and E.T., I think.
I say Raiders.
Raiders because it's midnight.
Say Raiders, please. I say
Raiders because it's midnight. With an honorable mention to E.T.
But please watch E.T., for Christ's sake. Look, there's the mountain, and then the Amblin logo is over
now,
the
mountain. Now, listen.
So Jurassic Park, if you want to go off that, Jurassic Park is one and E.T.'s two for a total amount earned. Then three's...
Skull.
And then four, War of the Worlds.
Why do you hate War of the Worlds?
War of the Worlds isn't that bad.
I like that movie. It's not mountain worthy, but I like the movie. Yeah. There's nothing that was, dude. That scene, that was very intense scene when he was in that fucking in the house in the house, and that fucking alien thing was the searcher.
Sure,
that was intense. That was a good. That movie was good. The only thing I didn't like about that movie, honestly, was the
lazy. Everything else except that scene.
No, I felt like I love the fact that we don't know what's happening on in the world. We see the entire world through the eyes of one person.
Right.
So we only hear about what's happening. It's not like they cut away to a different scene and then we find out information that the lead actor doesn't have. I love everything about that movie. Honestly, the only thing I don't like about that movie is because of what happened in the book, and it's because what killed the aliens was water. Like, if you're going to attack a planet that's 80% water, you should probably realize you're allergic to this shit, right? This shit is cute. Like, it's not...
Near your mixing
science. No, it wasn't water. It was the minerals in the water.
It was air.
It was bacteria.
Science. It was a bacteria in the water.
Science killed water.
Science is the water.
Okay, so it's bacteria in the air. So something that 100% of the earth is made out of.
I was just
what
like...
What the fuck, man? Like, that's...
You're saying that, and I'm like, science?
But I thought that was cheesy. I was like, the bacteria? Give me a fuck. Really?
Signs on signs.
So the mountain is Jaws, Saving Private Ryan, Jurassic Park, E.T., E.T., and E.T. I'm saying that four times so that our wives can listen to it and freak out.
If anyone has a Mamas and Merlot's Twitter, please, or their Instagrams, please just tag them in a bunch of E.T. photos, please.
They love
E.T., please.
Stephanie, all of them. Stephanie, home.
By the time this comes out, I'll be out at sea, so it doesn't matter. I'm not going to get late. And the Raiders are the last. Sorry.
David's just nodding his head. He's like, I'm not getting involved
with this.
Make
sure you check out geekbro.net. Nope. That's geekbro.net for all your podcast need. That includes What's Up, Bro? Cosplay Fame.
Yes.
Zeros on Heroes.
Zeros on Heroes. Mamas and Merlot. And I'm missing one.
House of Heel.
House of Heel. That's right.
The wrestling podcast.
So make sure you guys check that out because David's band, Naked Vengeance.
Did you say Cosplay Fame?
Yes, okay. I missed it. We just didn't spell it.
Oh, it's okay. That's where I got thrown off.
and make sure to check out Naked Vengeance, David's band, Naked Vengeance, at nakedvengeance.com. That's how lists are made. Thank you guys for checking us out. Woo.